Monday, November 3rd, 2003. And we have, well, we're not going to have the invocation yet, so we're going to have the flag salute. It's going to be led by Caitlin Herbert. She is 11 years old and a sixth grade student at North Oceana Elementary School. She is president of the Student Body Council. She is in honors program and in the GATE program. She is the
granddaughter of Chuck and Betty Ashton. Let's see. She is one of the students in sixth grade who produces and directs live TV newscasts of school for school. She loves soccer, reading, and music. Thank you, Caitlin. So you'll just lead us in the, we'll all stand and she'll lead us in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a little security for you, Caitlin. Caitlin, please.
Good job, Kim.
Roll call, please.
Here. Here.
Here.
Here. We have some closed session announcements that we need to make. On Monday, October 20th, 2003, after meeting in closed session regarding conference with labor negotiator with Police Officers Association, number one, that was number one issue. Number two issue is conference with legal counsel, pending litigation, Jensen versus the City of River Beach. And three, conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation. The closed session reconvened to public session. No reportable actions were taken in closed session, and the city council meeting was adjourned. Now we're moving to the ceremonial calendar, and we're going to introduce a new employee, Nick Coster. He's a recreation coordinator, and Kathy Petrua, the recreation manager, will make this presentation.
Mayor and City Council, good evening. We're very happy to introduce Nick Coster, our new recreation.
What was that tin outfit you had on last Thursday? I thought you were Tin Man. Yeah.
That was the Tin Man in the Parks and Rec Department rendition of Wizard of Oz.
Right. That's why I thought I'm from Kansas. Thank you, Nick. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Time we will move into public communications. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communication. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items not on the agenda. Does anyone like to speak to the council at this time? Good evening, John.
Hey, I thought it was important, so you can time it because I got a lot to say. There's two things. One was that fire and a strike, so I'm going to settle the strike because I think you need to know from the people. I heard Robert Schaefer say one morning that the general public know more than the politicians do. And lo and behold, last week or two, President Bush came on and said the same darn thing. Well, another guy on the radio said that Mother Nature doesn't make mistakes. The tide comes in, the tide goes out, the sun comes up, goes down, the moon does the same thing. Rain, tornadoes, and fire. It's all supposed to teach a man a lesson, but man is the one that makes a mistake. And I had to stop and write that down because really, you know, I can go back as far as John L. Lewis. And I'll bet you go out here in the street and ask him who he was. Maybe one out of 1,000 would know. Coal mine. Protected the coal miners because they're getting no pay. They want pay and benefits. Just like the kids down the street here. And so Then there was the auto strike. I was born and raised in that. He didn't cross those lines, but he wanted to stay healthy. And they were all because benefits, pensions, and they knew they were going to get more money. Everybody knows that. But most of that, Ford, Chrysler, General Motors, tax write-off. I can't prove that, but I was told by the company I worked for that I was right. So you want to talk about experience. I can go back in the 60s. I was out there on five of those with Safeway. Safeway is a good organization, except for their top people, the CEOs. And they're going to get that small person any way they can get them. But when I was out there, there were just meat cutters only from Paso South. We had to fight it ourselves. And we were a minority. But as time went on, I never thought after 19. But you know, if somebody objects to these kids getting the benefits,
budget over and say we can produce health benefits for everybody. President Reagan said, go back and slice that because I need that for defense. I had a relative set on a corral down here in Upper Los Barrios. So if this goes Mr. Bird's way, and you know what they should do is have these people that think they know so much and want to wreck the whole country, is go down that coal mine and work for about a couple hours because they'll come out thinking a whole lot different. If you've never been in one, go. You'll get a whole different opinion of life. And you know, if they do win the Mr. Bird, I told you about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, when I came back from the Midwest, Kroger got it right cut in half in two. And now, today, Walmart, Kmart, Myers, all non-union, come in with the meat already packaged. Tupperware containers, sealed. You want a special cut? You're not going to get that. Because that kid or that person there doesn't know the difference between hamburger and sausage. And you know what that's going to do to your economy? So I have a question. How much revenue do you get from the little corner grocery store down here in a year's time? And if that happens, and you get quite a bit, I know, or should, how's that going to reflect on your payments, your salary percent? So, you know, anybody wants to challenge me on experience on that, you're most welcome.
Thank you, John. Anyone else like to speak at public communication? Please come forward and state your name and address, please.
Good evening. My name is Dave Imwald, 187 Moore Lane, Roy Grandy. Pardon me. I'm with South County People's Kitchen.
Now, that's an agenda item. If you want to wait till the agenda comes up, you can.
You'll
be able to speak on that. It is agendized tonight, so we will have public communication at that time on that item if you want to wait.
Sorry.
Okay,
that's fine.
No problem. Anyone else? Seeing none, we'll move into the consent agenda. We have three items on the consent agenda tonight. Item number two, Treasury Report for a period of October 16th through the 29th. Minutes of the regular meeting, City Council meeting of October 20th, and the proposed resolution to authorize the City Manager to sign all documents relating to the implementation of the West Grand Avenue Traffic Mitigation Project. Would anyone like to pull any of those for a separate discussion or separate consideration?
I would like to just have it noted that item three I would abstain from. I was not here.
Okay.
Abstain. Thank you.
If there's no other, I'll make a motion that we accept items two, three, and four.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Motion's passed unanimously, and we've noted that Councilmember Ekbom has abstained from item number three. Public hearings, none at this time. We'll move into regular business. Item number five, status report of the People's Kitchen. And we have a staff report by Susan Zalescheck, our
I'm sorry, Mayor, before you step down, the only other clarification that I wanted to make on the consent agenda is that on item number 4, you also abstained
yes.
due to conflict of interest. And there was no discussion on the item,
sorry,
so
yes,
you okay. did not need to leave.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. These chairs are so new and nice, I lost my
you didn't way
here. I didn't
yeah.
notice they were here.
Well, there's
so
no squeak.
Pretty nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to the People's Kitchen. It was brought to the City Council's attention on October 6th and October 20th that there were concerns from the neighboring residents in the area of the People's Kitchen, which is located at 192 South 9th Street. And there's some attachments which contain their letters and documentation of some of the issues they were concerned about. City staff met with representatives from the Central Coast Baptist Church, which is a sponsor of the People's Kitchen. They actually have an agreement with them to allow the People's Kitchen organization, which is a collaboration of, I believe, 18 community churches in the South County, to use that facility to provide daily lunch meals. So staff met with the People's Kitchen and with the Central Coast Baptist Church and also with the People's Kitchen Board at their board meeting. Our community development director met with them to discuss the issues. As for a little bit of background for everyone's benefit here, the People's Kitchen was established in 1991, and it was sponsored by several South County churches. A letter dated October 22, 2003, from the People's Kitchen lists that there were 18 churches that participate in this outreach program, and it includes over 400 volunteers. Essentially, the different churches in the area prepare the meals, so they're all prepared off-site, and they bring them in at 11:30 in the morning and serve the meals and then close up shop and clean up by 1:30, generally. Except for Sundays, I think it's a little bit later. The People's Kitchen is a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and their mission is generally to serve a nutritious daily meal to needy people in the area. They serve meals 365 days a year from their location, rain or shine. During good weather, when it's not raining or too cold out, they serve it outdoors in the outdoor picnic table area. And if it's raining or unbearably cold, they serve it indoors. They do provide meals to be taken off-site for homebound residents, so some folks do walk away with food for other people. Typically, while they don't take survey data or other demographic information, they do keep count of plates, and that helps them understand how many people are being served daily. They generally serve about 120 people in the beginning of the month and about, 70 people at the beginning of the month and about 120 by the end of the month. Most of their clients, they estimate, are local residents within Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Oceano. And as far as their operations, after they serve out, they do go around and clean up their site and near vicinity as best they can after the meals are served. In regard to issues concerned, they try to make an effort to clean it up. They also have a zero tolerance for issues such as alcohol or substance abuse or some other establishments in the area, such as social services, et cetera. Also, some of the other issues that were of concern to the residents and that we discussed with the People's Kitchen staff relate to loitering and hanging out basically in front of businesses or in front of residences. And we've been told that they are speaking to their clients, and that's one of their rules that they enforce on the facility, although they can't exactly control it off their site, that they are not to loiter before 11:30 or afterwards. They're to go back to their homes or wherever. And they do try to encourage them not to loiter in the near vicinity outside their property so that it's not a problem for other folks. We discussed some solutions to address the issues. One is providing more information to their clients regarding not loitering and enforcing the zero tolerance of alcohol and substances. And also for trash, we proposed to them, and they seem to be open to providing on-site trash receptacles around the perimeter of their property. So people who are walking away with food who may not be finished with it or whatever, have something, someplace they can put it in instead of just the street. So that seemed to be one way that we can address at least the trash issue, because that was, it's a pretty prolific letter as far as the photographs that you received. They are also interested in finding a permanent location. Although they've been there for many years, they would like to have a home of their own, so they are interested in pursuing that. Staff discussed the, you know, possibilities of what their needs are and how to perhaps share with, co-locate with other uses and potential sites, so we see that as also another solution to find a more permanent facility, perhaps not at that location where there's other uses that kind of contribute to a larger issue. Let's see. I wanted to point out that there was concern regarding why they didn't have a use permit and conditions applied. It wasn't required at the time they were established. The use was allowed to operate and locate there under the umbrella of the church activities. So it wasn't determined at that time that it was required. Also, therefore, things such as requiring frontage improvements, the curb gutter sidewalk on the Rockaway side, wasn't required. We had no mechanism to obtain that. So the use isn't, that the lack of sidewalk isn't a result of the use. I provided several alternatives, more than usual, with this staff report, since this is a needed community service. It does serve a wide variety of people in Grover Beach, and staff would like to work with them to address these issues. I'd like to just highlight the alternative that staff recommends the City Council consider, and that's to create a committee made up of neighboring residents, business owners, staff from the People's Kitchen and the Central Coast Baptist Church, and representatives from other outreach programs at the Central Coast Baptist Church facility, and to work towards a resolution of these concerns. So that if we got together and met on a collaborative basis, we could try to come up resolving issues, you know, 3-4 times, get to the point and disperse. I don't see that it needs to be an ongoing committee unless there's issues that are resolved or not resolved. But that, or if issues come up over time, that we can meet and get together and work through them, but somewhat at a staff level so that it, you know.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I have another question. This may be for the city attorney. In alternative number 3, in which, is that the right one? I think the one alternative where you were talking about council making a determination that a conditional use permit is required because the use of expand beyond what was originally approved. The question is to the city attorney, do you think we have the proper nexus if that is in fact the alternative that the council chooses to pursue?
I think that based on everything that has been before you in the past several weeks on this issue, and assuming that a connection is made between the issues that are being raised and the type of use that is being administered on site, there are grounds for you to make findings with regard to the expanded type of use, which probably have gone beyond what was originally contemplated in 1991. And based on that, you can follow the alternatives that would allow the city to pursue a use permit process.
Okay. Thank you, staff. That's all I have.
On following that, would that come up with the discussion with this committee that would be made up?
I would imagine that if the issues are not resolved through the committee process, one of the things that can be considered and discussed is what type of conditions would a possible use permit involve during the committee meetings. And it can be either done through an application or through a more mandated process.
Any other questions?
I had some. I'm surprised that you'd say that the use has expanded.
It's become, although it's not permanent, it's the duration of it is more than what was anticipated, and that it's not a permanent facility of their own. It's under the auspices of the church, and I think that is more than what was initially intended. And then the impacts, too.
Do you think that the needy would become less needy or less hungry or something? I know that it's bounced around a lot. It used to be at the Grand and the railroad tracks, and then over at the park in Oceano, and then up at the church. I mean, I think we were all thrilled when the group of churches took this on as a very noble gesture to help feed the needy, and it is going to be ongoing. So, but to say that it's expanded, it's providing exactly the same service, the same hours, the same everything it always has.
I think my information, based on what I've learned from staff and from reading the reports, is that the original intention was for this to be a temporary use that would be moved from a location to location throughout the area. And when I said expanded, that probably wasn't the best word. The use has become apparently permanent. It has remained in this location, and I am not having been here.
How they operate are just like conditions. So I think they're working to be good neighbors. Maybe they need a little bit more work at this point, but they're very close to being the same animal.
Well, I was going to go to that next, because there is no agreement between the People's Kitchen and the city. The agreement is between the church and the People's Kitchen. But the agreement covers all of the issues that the complaints are coming from, whether it's the hours of operation or the trash or the loitering or the alcohol. I'm just wondering why we're not just encouraging the People's Kitchen to better serve their own agreement or stand up for their own agreement. And I'm wondering if we go into the next step of expanding this into a community thing, or going on to require a use permit that requires a lot of substantial improvements to the property. Is that what we're trying to do, trying to force these people to move out of town?
I think the process is playing itself out by concerns being brought forward to you and discussing them and letting them know they need to work harder on certain issues.
Well, it's a real hot button. You can look at the audience and see that there's
brainstorm on other ways we can also deal with it. I think this is the way.
I guess
it's being
my question
enforced.
Is this the point where the city should step in, or is it the point where People's Kitchen should really talk to the Baptist trustees, the church there, and say, we will live up to our agreement and these problems will go away? I guess that's my question. I'm hoping to hear from a lot. I'm sure we're going to hear from a lot in the audience. But
I think it would be appropriate to hear from the folks in the audience, but I think also that staff's recommendation is really that kind of a first step in a process that would do exactly what you're talking about, to facilitate that kind of communication among the various folks, because part of what I think has occurred is that people in the community who weren't happy with what was occurring came to the council and explained some of their concerns. And, if we can, in a fairly simple, low-key process, facilitate communication and a joint effort at solving problems, then we can perhaps nip this in the bud without going through a bunch of formal adversarial kinds of processes.
Well, and I understand that. I'm just a little concerned that forming a committee-wide group at this time is going to be step one in requiring some kind of a use permit and force this operation to leave the city. And is that, if that's our intent, we need to say that. If our intent is to try and feed the needy.
That's our intent. And if a use permit were pursued and applied for, I think we would review it the same as every other type of project. And it would be up to the decision makers to decide whether it should stay or be conditioned. So.
Thank you.
We're going to open this up to the public. And could I have a show of hands?
Board of Save Our Neighborhood in opposition to the serious problems related to the People's Kitchen and the transients they bring into our community on a daily basis. The following day, I hand-delivered 7 vodka and beer bottles, all found within 50 feet or on the Central Coast Baptist Church property, to the city manager's office in an attempt to demonstrate the seriousness of the problem. As you know, on October 6th of last month, I appeared before you and presented to you a 27-page document detailing 40 complaints with 76 photographs, including reports of 7 calls to the police department, all within a 3-week period. Since then, I have continued to request police assistance with numerous problems related to the People's Kitchen and the transients they serve. As you know, I first brought this issue to you at the town hall meeting on September 15th. Since then, the serious problems related to the People's Kitchen and the transients they serve have only escalated, such as threats to local shopkeepers and transient drug dealing in the center, the very heart of our community. On October 28th, Tuesday of last week, I observed a neighboring law enforcement agency dumping one of their social problems in our city. Within 20 minutes of this transient being dropped off from a marked police vehicle, I reported the same person to the police for disrupting local businesses, disturbing the peace, and harassing pedestrians in the area of West Grand Avenue and 9th Street. That evening and the next day, I observed the same transient loitering and most likely sleeping overnight behind the businesses adjacent to the People's Kitchen. Tonight, I present to you a petition with 101 signatures collected within 3 blocks of the People's Kitchen in support of Save Our Neighborhood against the transient plague, disruption of quality of life, life and safety issues, and the serious problems related to the People's Kitchen and the transients they serve. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you now have an idea of the strong opposition to the serious problems of urban blight brought upon this community by the South County People's Kitchen, sponsored by the Central Coast Baptist Church and the 17 other churches, most of them located outside of this community. The time for action is now. Help save our neighborhood. And I would dare you to poll the audience tonight to find out how many of these people who appeared here actually live in this city. If the person who runs the soup kitchen thinks it's such a great thing for the city, then why don't they move it to their city? But the solution that I proposed in the newspaper is the same solution that I proposed tonight. There are 18 churches involved in this. If they rotated it on a quarterly basis among those 18 churches, each neighborhood would only be impacted for a 3-month period every 4.5 years. And that is the fairest solution to all the parties involved. As both a resident and a business person of this community, it is a serious urban blight that is having a serious effect on the life of the people in this area. And it's time for you guys to do something about it. And it's taken 2 months of public pressure to get these people here tonight to even acknowledge that there's a problem. And that's part of the problem in itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes.
Hello, my name is Cassandra McConaughey, and I'm the shop owner that was... I was threatened in my own business by a transient that, as the police officer, it's on record. I reported it to the police. Police showed up. They said Lance is over having lunch. So they know this man by first name basis. Anyway, I am trying to run a business. I don't know how many times I've had to clean up the urine and the defecation that's in the back of my shop that is on a daily basis because the People's Kitchen does not provide a restroom. Does any restaurant or any food service, is it not mandatory that they serve a food with a bathroom? This has got me going. 45 bottle that was smashed in front of my shop because you couldn't park there because glass was in the parking space. Shamrock has been threatened by the same person. The restaurant at Backdoor Deli, these women could not come tonight. They had other obligations. Both of them have talked about the transients that use their bathrooms to clean up and wash. This morning I had a man. He's been in front of the shop now for 2 weeks. He waits for his lunch. I've asked him. He's cleaning his armpits and changing his clothes in front of the shop. I'd love to shop in that kind of a shop that has this going on in the front. I've never seen off-site cleanup by the People's Kitchen because I'm cleaning up the side of my building daily. I'm talking about spaghetti running down the side of the wall because people have tossed their lunch because they're through. They have takeout. Why do they need to throw it on a trash can at the People's Kitchen? They throw it all around our neighborhood. I don't want to see this anymore. I want something done. I'm trying to run a business. I'm trying to feed my family. And I'm tired of looking at this garbage that these people are bringing in.
Thank you, Cassandra.
Hello. My name is Tom Beam. I am the homeless services coordinator for the County of San Luis Obispo. And I am I'm a board member of the Homeless Services Committee. And we would like to recommend your staff report as being fair and balanced. And we would be offering our services and our expertise in any way that we possibly can to help ameliorate the problems that are existing right now with the People's Kitchen. This is one of the few places in South County where homeless people can actually eat, and poor people. When I hear a lot of transient talk, I've been going to the People's Kitchen since the day it started, and the transient population is quite low as compared to the poor people that come from this community that come and eat at the kitchen, the blind, the deaf, people in wheelchairs. And anybody that would go to the kitchen would see that there are many more poor people than there are in the transient population. This is a little bit off the beaten path for the transient. And I go to every People's Kitchen in the county, and I can definitely say that this is one People's Kitchen that does not have that problem in the extent that it is being portrayed. We will definitely be supportive of anything that the People's Kitchen will do, and we will, like I said, we will hand off our expertise to them and help them guide them through this situation. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Ream. Next person.
My name is Russ McConaughey, and our business is at 902 West Grand Avenue. I have a couple of questions for staff. And one is, okay, it opened up in 1991. How many people were they serving then versus how many people are they serving now?
I don't know that information.
Okay, just
those are questions that we might have when we have the meeting together.
And did staff go to, I know you went to the People's Kitchen set up, but did you go to the surrounding businesses that have the complaints as to what the problems really are?
I have not gone to talk to the business owners. I've seen Cassandra here, and I frequent the businesses. So.
Okay, just
yeah, so more dialogue.
I'm trying to get it going both ways here. And the People's Kitchen, you know, it's not that there is not a need for what they provide. It's where it's at. You know, this is, according to your own city, this is the prime center of the city. And you want to do all these improvements.
I'm Vernon Blakely, and I live at Oceano in 255 Oceanica, Space 12. And I do the lawn maintenance at the Central Coast Baptist Church for about 7 years. And I've been noticing lately, I was the person that turned in the report Saturday morning when I showed up for my duties. I found two rows of liquor bottles, cans, neatly placed on our steps. And I thought, now, because I don't know if you know it or not, but our church is going through a little turmoil. But that's another case. Is I'm a recovering alcohol for 28 years, and I looked at that and I wondered if the person who put those two rows of bottles and stuff on my church steps, they would have to come to me. I go back to the old way. God brought us into this earth for a reason. And if you don't like what is going around in your neighborhood, get out. So thank you.
Thank you, Vern. Next person, please.
I'm Marcia Bolianitz. I live at 263 South 9th Street. I'm kind of offended and surprised at the use of the word temporary for a 12-year situation. I've been picking...
Excuse me, please. Please be courteous. Please, everybody in this audience, please be courteous of everyone who gets up here and speak. We're all here for a purpose. Thank you.
About 8 years ago, the Telegram Tribune ran a major article about this coalition of 18 churches who were to share the location hosting responsibilities for the People's Kitchen. However, the outcome was none of the other 17 churches would come forward and take that responsibility. I have lived in this community for the 12 years that we've had the People's Kitchen. On a daily basis, I've picked up injectable drug paraphernalia, watched drug deals, picked up used condoms, human waste, and my well-being has been threatened by dumpster divers in my dumpster at my home. The police have been great, but I think that they have other priorities that they could. I mean, of course, my life was threatened, so that's a pretty big priority, especially for me. But I think 12 years is enough, and I think if these other 17 churches are really true to their word, that they care about these needs, which I agree will not go away, they should step up to the plate and take responsibility. 12 years is a long, long temporary time. And if each church would just take 6 months to sponsor this location, I'd be willing to see it come back in 8 years. But, you know, it's unfair to the entire community of business owners, residents.
I'm a proud person to be living in Grover Beach, proud of a community that at this time is feeding the poor that can't afford to eat in our town. I have been going to the People's Kitchen since 1992. I'm a case manager who goes to that place to find people that are in need and try to connect them up with services that will help them not be homeless anymore. I provide services to help people get off the streets, to find affordable housing, to get food stamps, and get benefits to help them get on their feet. I agree with Tom Beam that the people that go to the People's Kitchen are basically not bad and not transient. And I don't think that it's a bunch of drug users and alcoholics that pee on the side of buildings and defecate in people's yard. I know these people, and I'm proud of our community and our churches that go out and feed and take care of them. I feel bad for this city that they don't, the people that don't support what's going on there. And I'm passionate about the care of the disabled and the people that aren't able to take care of themselves. And I'm proud that I live on the corner of 12th and Ramona in Grover Beach, a city that cares about the poor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jim Reynolds. I reside in Pismo Beach, but I go to church, Central Coast Baptist Church. And 3 or 4 days a week, I go down there and water and clean up around the church. And I'm telling you, I don't see any trash laying around. If I see a coffee cup in the gutter, that's very seldom. Somebody has to feed these people. And they don't make a mess. We do have restrooms there for these people. And you can go in behind our church where there's a parking lot and several businesses. And if you want to see some litter, go back there and look around there. It's all behind our church where the people are coming out in and out of those businesses all day long and throwing their coffee cups down behind our church here. I pick a lot of it up. And so I really hate to see anything happen to this People's Kitchen. They do a wonderful job. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening. My name is Gordon Herb. I'm the new interim pastor at Central Coast Baptist Church. Been there less than 2 weeks. And so this past week, I've been trying to get informed of what's taking place regarding People's Kitchen. And I want to, I met a week ago with Dave Imwald, the director of People's Kitchen, and I want to thank him personally for the time he spent with me and informed me from his position regarding People's Kitchen. Then also the next day I met with Mr. Jake Raper, a community church, last Wednesday night. And I already understand that we, within our context of our church, we fall basically in two groups, some pro, some con, and some neutral. And so I encouraged our people to be here tonight, as many as could be, to do two things, to be objective and try to learn from this meeting, and then also they're, of course, free to state their position, and you've already heard from two of our church members. And so I'm going to ask all our church members if you'd stand. So I just want you to see that we now are very interested in People's Kitchen, probably more so than in the past. Thank you. And we will be having our monthly business meeting next Wednesday night, and we're going to take a position on this, and we're going to have more input into this because the property is ours, and we're really concerned about the needy people that People Kitchen is helping. We're also concerned about our neighbors, and we're really concerned, folks, that those of you that live around here, and we want to do something about it to improve the situation. And so while I'm standing here, regardless of what your position is, we'd like to invite you to our church, our services, our Bible studies at 9:15, our Bible studies at 9:15, and our worship services at 10:30. And regardless of what your position is, we're a friendly church, and we want to invite you to come to our service.
Thank you, Mr. Gordon. Hi, I'm Phyllis Bennett. I'm the office manager at Central Coast Baptist Church. I've been a member of Central Coast Baptist for about 10 years. And I'm really proud that we have People's Kitchen on our facility. It was there when I first became a member and was very interested in having been members of several other churches in our state and communities in our state. This is the first church I've been at and community I've been at where this was located at our actual facility. I was involved in a program at another church where we had to go from place to place, and it was very difficult for many of the people to do that because the church would be a different site, you know. So you're always confused. The people that brought the food were confused. The people that were showing up to receive the food were often very confused. I just wanted to let you know that People's Kitchen is not only the only ministry Central Coast Baptist has. I personally would prefer to see a lot more, but just you've heard a little bit about what goes on over there. But we also have the San Luis Literacy Council meets in our facility. In fact, right at this moment, they're meeting, and they also meet on Thursday nights. Five Cities, which obviously meets a need for a Hispanic community here to learn English, you know, as a second language. We also have the Five Cities Christian Women Food Bank, which just dovetails perfectly with the People's Kitchen and offering groceries to the needy in our community. And there are many people walk to that ministry, which is open Monday through Friday from 2 to 4. You already heard from Jan Stone and the group that she is involved with, which uses our facility. There's also a mobile medical unit that parks along the street that offers some needed services for the community, as well as an AIDS saliva testing that takes place there. So you've got people that have what they need closely associated where they're going to be. We also, as a church, provide a clothes closet, which is open one Sunday a month on the second Sunday when we take our responsibility in serving the people. Of pastors in our area have some funds that they provide, gas vouchers and bus tickets if people need them, and also sometimes some overnight stay at a motel. This family was in need because of their housing had gone, skyrocketed their rent, and they were having some trouble with some jobs. But the husband did have a job. I was very pleased that I was able to help them out through the ministries that we had here. And that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Fine.
Hi. Dave Emwald with South County People's Kitchen, 187 Moore Lane, Rio Grande. Just to correct a few things, Martin, you were saying about the use. When we were invited to Central Coast Baptist Church by Pastor Bob Alexander, it was not a temporary stay. It was his wish that would be our home. Pastor Bob moved on and later passed on. Pastor Gil De La Rosa took over the congregation. He was the pastor there in 92 when we were established there. And again, same feeling, this would be our home. As you already heard, we do have bathrooms on premise. You know, when God said, if a brother or sister is naked and in need of food, you say, be blessed and be on your way, what good have you been? Well, that's what the South County People's Kitchen, that's what we fill. The comment about 18 churches, Telegram Tribune article, that was about San Luis People's Kitchen, not about South County People's Kitchen.
Please.
So, you know, we have been at Central Coast Baptist Church. We have looked at numerous properties and are still looking. We don't want to be in the public eye any more than the poor people in your neighborhood want to be right out in the middle of the public. We serve an average 3,000 meals a month. If 50 of them are people passing through, that would be a high number. They're local people. Yeah, there's some mentally disturbed people out there, but you know, they need to eat too. They can come in. They know that they receive a meal by people who care about them. They're not judgmental. That we do have certain standards we expect and require of them. We try to encourage people, and we've seen many lives turned around because of this ministry. We've seen people that have moved on. They've gone into new areas. They've found work. They've found hope. I just thank you for the opportunity to be here in your community and serve the needy. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there, Robert, there's other people coming. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Betsy Erler. I live at 329 Parkview in Grover Beach. I have lived in Grover Beach since 1976. I live here. I worship at a church in Grover Beach. I work at Grover Heights Kitchen. It's getting just pinned with everything that's going wrong in Grover Beach, and I have to say I'm having a problem with that. There was a lot of pictures that Mr. Hayes had taken of beer bottles and beer cans and alcohol. We don't serve that at People's Kitchen. We don't allow it on our premises. And if someone comes in and they're belligerent, because, and we think it's because of alcohol, drugs, or just because they're belligerent, they're not allowed to stay. So I think unless you have pictures of people from People's Kitchen holding these alcohol beverages, you can't say that really that it's our problem. There is a liquor store really, really close. No one's telling them that it's their problem. So I just kind of thought I would bring that up as just maybe a little bit of a different perspective. As for Cassandra, I've come into your store. If there ever is ever food thrown again, I want you to call me. I'm going to give you my phone number.
People, if you could.
Okay, and we'll deal with that later. And as far as people being dropped in town by other organizations, like the police have brought them to town, they weren't being dropped because they're coming to People's Kitchen. They were dropped because they're being dropped in town. So again, People's Kitchen can't be the guinea pig or what, the scapegoat or whatever the right word is for some of these ills that are happening. Now, I admit there are things that are going on, and we do try to keep a really tight handle on it. Our supervisors, every time that we finish, are supposed to check for garbage out in the parking lot and make sure it gets picked up, and we make sure that there's no one hanging around when we leave. And other than that, I just want to say thanks for letting me talk.
Thank you, Betsy.
My name is Al Poudret. I live in Grover Beach. I'm a retired custodian, school custodian. I retired a few years ago, 5 years ago, and I don't always have enough money to eat. So every once in a while, I go there for lunch. Now, when I go there, I don't loiter around, eat lunch, I leave. I like the People's Kitchen. I go on to Church of Nazarene, where we also provide meals once a week with a program there. I help clean up the place because I'm an ex-custodian. This idea of having druggies around there is a false thing. It's not true. I think the people that said that are way out of whack, or not out of line, I should say. And As you can tell, my speech impediment is coming into focus here a great deal. But anyway, I don't think it should be closed down. But 529 Manhattan, like I said earlier, and if you were to close it down, you'd do a great disservice to a lot of people, people that would go hungry, because that one meal they get a day, that's all they have. Because they don't have any other getting food. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Is there anyone else out there who would like to speak on this subject?
My name is Patricia Newton. I live at 2400 Cienega in Oceano. I volunteer at the People's Kitchen 3 times a month with the Church of the Nazarene and Peace Lutheran Church. It's been one of the most meaningful things that I've done in a very, very long time. I sympathize. They live in our community, and I know that there are people who have drug problems that come in. They do not, if they, as other people have said, disturb or a disturbance on the premises, they are asked to leave. I know that they go other places as well. They go to the Pismo Pier. They go to the Grover Beach area, and they're a mess too. But we try at People's Kitchen to do what we can to serve the greatest amount of people and take care of the neighborhood as best we can in our little area. We can't do anything after hours. When we leave, we're clean, we're secure, everything is tidy. And what the people do when they leave, they could go other places. What can we do? We take care of the people the best we can. Some of these people literally depend on us. They couldn't go from church to church. If you're in a little motorized stroller, you can't, whatever they're called, little, you can't go up the hill to another church. You can't go far away. They live within blocks of that area. And my heart goes out to people that are feeling badly because their property is being trashed by some people who don't respect other people's rights. But I hope that we can work together. I hope that the homeowners and the People's Kitchen and the staff here can work together, because we're a community that has a lot of different kind of people in it, and everybody needs to be cared for. And I think that we can set an example here if we do try to work together. And that's all I can say. I know that we need to take care of the least in our community as well as the people that live in the neighborhood. And when I'm there serving, I know that that I try to do my best, and I think the people that I serve with try to do our best to make sure that everybody's needs are met, and I hope that we all can work together. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Newton.
My name is Joseph Darpley. I attend a Central Coast Baptist Church. I'd like to appeal to your conscience. One of these days we'll all die and face the Lord, whether you believe that or not. And he said to those that weren't allowed into heaven, depart from me, for when I was hungry, you fed me not. You didn't clothe me. You didn't give me water. You didn't give me drink. And whenever you're going to minister to the poor, the needy, there's going to be problems. But remember, someday we all have to meet Jesus.
Thank you, sir.
Madam Mayor and Council, my name is Ken Gross. I live at 458 Ramona, River Beach. I've been around this area for a long time. I remember when People's Kitchen were feeding people down the railroad tracks from tables. No cover, they'd serve rain or shine with an umbrella over their head. People have been an admirable asset to our community for many, many years. The question I ask is, why just recently have all these alarmists come forward with ideas of junkies and so forth hanging around town, because they've been here for a long time? Not at the People's Kitchen necessarily. Try the railroad tracks, try Ramona Gardens Park. Any place where there's any power lounging room, you'll find them. They're disadvantaged people.
Put up our list of options on the reader board there. Would that help anybody? That should be easy to do. This is a staff report options. That'd be bigger than that.
Were you going to speak, sir?
Yes. Sorry, I was
going to
read that real quick.
Oh.
Oh. That's too small to read there.
We'll go over this before anything's decided, so everyone will have an opportunity to.
Good evening. My name is Kevin Webster. I live at 1168 Grand Avenue here in Grover Beach. In concerns, I just recently got back from vacation and found out that there were some problems with the Central Coast Baptist Church and the People's Kitchen. I serve at the People's Kitchen. I cook for them. I've been a member of the Central Coast Baptist Church about 2.5 years now. The problems that have come up seem to be somewhat alarmist in its scope. There will always be problems when you get a group of people together. We're trying as hard as we can at the moment to fix the problems as we can. Because there is so many groups, it takes a little while to get all 18 to 22 factions together and come up with solutions. We are trying, and we are here to serve the community, because there are a lot of people here that, quote-unquote, are not technically transients. They're homeless. They may be sleeping in a car. They may be sleeping in someone's spare bedroom or backyard or something like that. But we're here to serve them. We're not here to kick them out into someone else's backyard because we don't want to deal with the problem. We're here to deal with it. And we're trying to deal with it as best as we can. And I would just suggest that the people who have come forward may have jumped the gun. Instead of bringing it to the People's Kitchen, they came to you folks. If they come to the People's Kitchen or to the Central Coast Baptist, we could have got together, as was suggested earlier, got a group of people, find out what the problems were, address them, and hopefully resolve them. But unfortunately, that part of the process was jumped over, and that's why we're here. But we're here to work it out, and we're open to any suggestion that the staff may have and the other individuals. My time is almost up. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Is there anyone else in the audience or in the hall that would like to speak? One last time, Robert.
Thank you, Mrs. Santos. First of all, I'd like to announce that I've been to the Baptist Church twice and left my business card with them in an effort to open dialogue with them. And both times, I was told they'd be in contact. They never were. In fact, the only comment that I got from them was they're not responsible for anything that occurs off their property, and that was part of the problem that led me to do this. For over a year, I observed the mess going on down there before I decided to take some action and bring it to your attention, and that was after my two attempts to talk to them had failed. So, also, as you know, I submitted 76 photographs to you. All of those photographs, except for two, were taken in the immediate vicinity or on the none of those issues would come up with. The new pastor, I forgot his name, who stood up here, I'm glad to see there's new leadership over there that might be willing to discuss these problems. I'm certainly willing to talk to him. Unfortunately, if he was there 2 months ago, we probably wouldn't be here today, because their refusal to acknowledge that they have brought a problem into this neighborhood is what led us to come to you in public. And I'd like to remind you that there were 12 people that appeared before you at the last city council meeting, all in support of Save Our Neighborhood. And I've turned in a petition with 101 signatures in support of Save Our Neighborhood. Also, a conversation with a local bus driver. He has informed me that some of these transient troublemakers are coming from San Luis Obispo. I've been trying to inquire into why these people are coming from San Luis Obispo. I have a theory that they've been kicked out of the program up there, and now we're having to deal with them. The story about somebody brought up whether or not the police incident was true, or dropped them off in the neighborhood. I personally observed a Pismo Beach police vehicle drop that transient off in the parking lot of the People's Kitchen. And if these people would like to talk to me who accused me of some integrity lapses, I'd be more than happy to talk to them, because some of these people are just, I'm offended by some of these people that are coming up here and in the name of God are telling us that everything's fine, there's no problems with the soup kitchen. Well, if there are no problems with the soup kitchen and these issues don't exist, then what's the problem with the 17 other churches accepting this responsibility? So there's some serious questions that have to be dealt with tonight, and time for action is now. Thank you,
Robert. Okay. We need to keep it down. We've had one response.
I'll make
now
it
we'll
one
have,
minute.
We'll have the other side.
I came to this city council meeting to propose something happen on the corner of 9th and Grand for my business. I'm not accusing the church. Pastor Gill has worked with me in the past 3 years that I've been here. He's been very helpful. There have been situations with church members, and they know who they are, and he's helped with that. I'm so happy to meet this new minister. I'll be talking with him concerning it, too. I'm not a liar. I have very high integrity, and I am willing to talk to anybody that is willing to talk decently to me. I'm only trying to run a business. I'm not accusing the People's Kitchen of transient problems. There are homeless people that are coming too early to the kitchen, and that needs to be addressed. And the last time I talked to the president of the People's Kitchen, they sent out a flyer to everybody, and everything calmed down for a few months. So I think that's where we need to start again. She's willing. I'm willing. I think it can be handled.
I think our purpose here tonight is try to find a solution to a problem that has come up, and we're going to try to do it in a positive and orderly manner. So we will have one more speaker, and that'll be it, and then we'll bring it back to council.
Yes. I've lived in this area since 41, 42, and it amazes me that you can have four or five people that want to condemn this project that our church started 12 years ago. And when do you criticize God? In the United States, we're supposed to be under God's protection. And if we don't live God's way, then why are we surviving? Thank you.
The church and the People's Kitchen, it's a very noble gesture, and no one is debating that. I mean, I think that's been well documented. But I think the residents and the folks who have, and the business owners, have legitimate concerns that we definitely must be mindful of. And so it is not about closing down this use. It is certainly about trying to find a way for everyone to coexist in a harmonious manner. The city of San Luis Obispo, I think, dealt with this a similar issue when they were serving the homeless and poor at the mission many, many years ago. And I think they found a very good solution. They've got a homeless shelter that is in the southern part of the city that is sponsored by the Economic Opportunity Commission. I don't see any reason why that can't occur here. They've also have what we call the Prado Day Center out near the city corporation yard that's more or less on the city's westerly boundaries. And so we have models that we can go by. We are certainly not saying that this use needs to leave this community. We're saying let's look at it and let's find some solutions in which we can all coexist in a harmonious manner. And so at this point, I must say that I am certainly leaning toward the staff recommendation with the caveat that there be one primary point person from the staff and others attend as needed. And that's kind of where I am right now.
Thank you, John. Steve?
Thanks, Steve. I agree with a lot of what John has said. The need is not going to disappear. I mean, David alluded to that earlier. There's always going to be a need to provide assistance for those in our community that are less fortunate than others. I, too, am leaning towards the staff recommendation in that we need to get these parties together. This is becoming, obviously, an emotional issue, and it is an emotional issue. I mean, we're talking about human beings here and the impacts to neighbors, to business owners, to residents, and those in need, as well as the church. What I don't want to have happen, and again, I don't have control over this, but what I would like to avoid if possible is to get stuck in a rut, trench warfare from World War I. I don't want to go down that road. I want to look at what other communities have done that have been constructive solutions and not recreate the wheel. Let's look at what San Luis Obispo has done with those centers and other communities in our county or Santa Barbara County, and let's see what we can do to do something similar. I'm not opposed to looking into a rotation. I mean, I think we have to evaluate every option that's out there. If we do a rotation, is there a way to transport those folks that are limited to get to the place they need to get to? I think we need to cover every base and exhaust every avenue and come up with a great solution that everyone's going to be able to live with. And that's about all I have to say. Thanks.
David? Okay.
Well, I think I was on the EOC board when San Luis did their homeless shelter on the south side. And if I remember right, it was over $1 million. Our problem here is money. It's if you, I don't know where you would find another location, but if you did, you're right back to somebody has to buy it, somebody has to build the facility. And I always thought that Grover was a little different city, and we were trying to take care of children more than other cities do, or families, and or the needy. You know, we're not going to be the last four items, recommendations, where you start from use permits up to zoning violations to citations and stuff, are too heavy-handed for my taste for our city. So I see this as either item one or item two of the alternatives. One is direct staff to work with the church and the Baptist, and the second one is to form a larger community-based group. And my concern there is that there will be some pressure out then to start looking for alternative sites and giving a timeline to this or some other drastic change in this, and I don't know where the change would be. And I have a lot of sympathy for business owners. I wouldn't want to have a business and have drunks sitting on my front door, my steps. I understand that, and that is something that I think that should be controllable. And if it takes the people's church, the kitchen, and the church to police a larger area than their immediate property, maybe that's a solution. But I don't know. But I don't want to see this escalate into something that is involves the city a lot more in regulatory and use permits, and then a lot of strict regulations that will just force it out completely. The church will not be able to afford to pay for the kind of improvements that a regular use permit application would insist that we provide, whether it's curb gutter and sidewalk or paved parking or handicapped bathrooms. Or I don't know. The list could go on. But I would like to see, with this amount of people involved right now and the obvious hot button that it is, I think that the kitchen and the Baptist church can zero in on this just themselves. I have a lot of faith in them in doing that. So, thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to thank all of you tonight for coming here and being courteous of each other. I know sometimes, like David mentioned, it is a hot button, but it's something that we need to find a solution for. Years past, we didn't have this many homeless or people that had no place to eat, but it's becoming a bigger problem. We are fortunate here in the Central Coast that we don't have the problems they have down south. After the fires, everybody's going to be equal. There's no rich, there's no poor. There's a lot of people there that don't have homes now. They're going to need places to eat. So now bringing it back to our location here, I think Grover is one of the areas that has had one of the nicest climates that you could ask, and maybe others have found it, whether they be homeless or have homes, nice and comfortable. But like the gentleman that got up and spoke, sometimes he doesn't have enough food to eat, so he comes and makes himself have a meal with the rest of the people. There is no in-between. He is a person who is hungry. I think the church has done a lot for this community. I've been there that have seen, I've gone to their graduations where I've seen women turn around and make better lives for themselves. I think there's a way. I can remember a story when I served on the school board that their battery went dead because they left the light on so the child could read their books so they could do their homework, just enough so they could go to school the next day. And in the school district, they have a place where you can have lunch and or breakfast in the mornings. And maybe the parents would come to a place like this to have lunch for themselves. So I think this is an issue where we need to try to work together. Maybe we need to get some people from the church and some people from the business area. Because without the businesses, we have nothing in Grover. We're trying to make this a community where people want to come and visit and spend their dollars. But we also can't forget the people who live here the best they can. Now, before I make my decision tonight, I think that we should review the alternatives that we had mentioned before. So, Susan, I don't know if you want me to read them or you would like to read them.
Would you like me to? Sure. The first alternative is, number one, direct staff to continue to work with representatives from the People's Kitchen and the Central Coast Baptist Church in addressing the issues of the neighboring residents. Two, direct staff to create a committee made up of neighboring residents, business owners, People's Kitchen, the Central Coast Baptist Church, representatives from other outreach programs at the facility, and city staff to work towards resolution of concerns identified by neighboring residents. Three, direct staff to require a conditional use permit as identified in table one, uses permitted within commercial districts, where there's a classification of philanthropic and social service centers, nonprofit, since the use and potential impacts of the use have expanded beyond what was originally contemplated. Four, direct the community development director to implement zoning ordinance section 9103.3 enforcement, where it states it shall be the duty of the community development director of the city of Grover Beach to enforce the provisions of this chapter pertaining to the use of land or buildings in erection, construction, reconstruction, moving, alteration of, or addition to any buildings or structures. Any permit or license of any type issued by any department or officer of the city of Grover Beach issued in conflict with the provisions of this chapter is hereby declared to be null and void. That would basically be a finding that this was not established correctly. Or five, establish the city attorney to implement zoning ordinance section 9103.4 nuisance. And it's repeating most of the same language. I guess I'll just read it. Any building or structure erected, constructed, altered, enlarged, converted, moved, or maintained contrary to the provisions of this chapter, and any use of buildings or land operated or maintained contrary to the provisions of this chapter, are hereby declared to be a public nuisance. The city attorney, upon order of the city council, shall commence the necessary action or proceedings for the abatement, removal, and enjoinment thereof in a manner prescribed by law in the courts, which may have jurisdiction to grant such relief as will accomplish such abatement and restrain. The remedies provided in this section shall be in addition to any other remedy or remedies or penalties provided in this chapter or any other law or ordinance, unquote. Those two last items are provisions, existing provisions in the city zoning ordinance. Or six, other direction as may be deemed appropriate by the city council.
Thank you.
Is there any other discussion?
Yes, there's okay. Going to be. There's there was a couple of...
Headed in that direction. So, you know, I think however we got here, we are certainly involved. With respect to the use permit, I am not saying require them to install sidewalks, curb and gutter. A use permit is more a formal contract in which most businesses that are doing, most uses that are doing business in the city are required to have use permits. And it may just be more of a restatement of cleaning the site and how they operate in their procedures. I don't think that's heavy-handed. I think that is a normal practice that we do in this community and any other community. So I would certainly hope that would still be on the table. I mean, the best analogy I can give is CCNRs. If you buy a home and you've got CCNRs, unless you've got a very active homeowners association, those are some of the toughest things to enforce, and who's really going to have that burden? So I think if we have a use permit, we can at least formalize the contract and we can review it on an annual basis, whether they're in this location or a different location. So I do think that's something that should be discussed.
John, you want to explain for the audience what CCNRs are?
Conditions, covenants, and restrictions. It typically comes with a housing development in which maybe there are smaller lots or common areas that are shared, and they all share in the responsibility of those common areas, i.e. a pool, a clubhouse, or open space.
Thank you. David?
If we would have a use permit with any organization doing something in our city and there was some violations, we would go to that person or company that created the use permit with us, and we'd say, you're having violations of your conditions or your use permit, correct them. We would say, do that, or we will go to the next step, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying now is, we're not involved in this directly right now. We have some citizens in our community that are not happy. We need to voice their opinions. And so I'm just saying, why not just go to the People's Kitchen and the Baptist Church and say, correct these violations or these problems? This is just like step one. If that doesn't occur, we can always come back and do something else down the line. But the first step could be a very simple asking them to comply with the agreement that they have between the two of them, which I think covers everything here.
It sounds like they have made some contact. Now, I don't know how much they've discussed this issue, but it sounds like they've made that. And since everyone, it's obviously on everyone's radar, let's get folks together and let them talk about it. And if that's the resolution they come up with, great.
Steve?
I think we're all kind of saying the same thing, but we're not. And
thank you, Steve. On point as usual.
And I'm done. No. I think that the issue has gotten to the council, and we have to accept that. Should it have gotten to the council at this point? Probably not, but it has. And I'd like to send it back to all the stakeholders that are involved in this issue. I think the city, just because we're informed of this issue now, needs to be there. I don't think we need to have an active role in facilitating this workshop, but we need someone there to answer technical questions and report back to the council.
I'll get together a person from staff, and I myself would even like to sit in and just listen, not have much say-so, but just listen, and to be able to come back. And in 6 months, if this hasn't cleared up. You have to give people a chance. Well, you have to give people a chance. You don't want to blame or point fingers to anyone in particular, but we have to help. And if we can start with just this amount of time, and maybe, who knows, it will cure the problem. I think the pastor said he's only been here a short time. Give him a chance. Robert, you've done your homework, and nobody's going to call you a liar. I'll stand there and make sure. No.
Well, in the
and I got to bring John if I have to. But anyway.
No, only one council member and one staff person. Thank you.
But I think there's maybe a way that we can sort of resolve this problem on everybody's behalf. We're not taking food out of anybody's mouth, but we're going to keep our city clean. We're going to keep our businesses healthy.
Well, in order to move us along, I'd like to move that. I guess I'd like to move staff alternative number two, or the staff recommendation.
Is there interest in amending that? We were talking about a council person and one staff person. Do we need to get that technical?
I was going to do that. I didn't know if we wanted to go that far. Sure, and so a friendly amendment to include Mayor Pro Tem Santos as the council representative. And do you want to define going further?
No.
Is that it?
I'm comfortable with the second to that motion.
While we're talking, when you form a committee, there's this time involved in forming the committee, and then there's the time it takes to arrive at some kind of decisions, whereas this could be solved by number one, directing staff to work with the kitchen and the church to solve the problem. Bang, it's done. No.
Isn't that what we're doing?
No, you're number two is you're going to create a committee made up of residents and business owners and other organizations and the church and the kitchen and staff.
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
You're building this committee, which hopefully would come up with some of the same ideas. It might take them a lot longer, or it might take different routes. I don't know who's on the committee. But
okay. Mr. Anderson?
I would just like to point out that I think the staff's recommendation is not necessarily to create some formal, long-term kind of process. The concept is just that the city would facilitate getting the folks who are the stakeholders in this issue together. And as Councilmember Lieberman mentioned, that provide any kind of technical advice or assistance in that process, and to just see if we can't all come together with some solutions that make some sense. And it's not impossible that you know, it could go to a more formal approach to how that would occur. But
good job.
Okay, we're going to take about a 10-minute break.
Thank you.
While we're clearing the room.
I understand. It took me a while. I understand what you're saying, so we're going to create this bureaucracy.
Driver.
That's right. What an emotional issue. You guys handled that really well. I'm proud of you. Good job.
So what'd you have for dinner?
Hungry man. Peas and carrots and Salisbury steak.
Did you over microwave?
Is that a Swanson's?
Hungry man. Okay, item number 6, comprehensive planning program. I get a status on the planning program of the city. Susan.
Thank you. Switching gears here, I think we just added something to the list. As you're aware, City Council, I'm sorry, back up, start over. The Community Development Department staff and its resources use time and resources on a variety of projects, some of which are in the budget, and some of which are staff-generated projects just on our to-do list, and some of which are unplanned and unexpected that are identified through processes such as what we just went through. So these are initiated by other departments, the community, the Planning Commission, the City Council, and subcommittees of various sorts. The Planning Department, the Planning Division of the Community Development Department has two basic functions. These are processing current development applications and also developing long-range planning documents. Some of the types of current planning projects are architectural approvals, parcel maps, use permits. And then some of the types of long-range planning activities include updating the city's general plan and other long-range projects associated, such as specific plans or special studies, design guidelines, things of that nature. Some of these long-range projects are mandatory, such as the general plan and also the zoning ordinance. The zoning ordinance is required by state law to be consistent with the general plan, so you're constantly having to ensure that there's internal consistency between documents. And within the general plan, there's 7 mandated elements or topics of the general plan, and those are all required to be internally consistent. The housing element is one of those elements or one of those topics that's the only element that's required to be updated on a regular timetable. The others can be updated and amended so that many of the elements of the general plan, for instance, are over 20 years old and no longer reflect current needs and issues. When I brought these to your attention and described the needs and the issues, they've generally been budgeted for those more costly items. Keeps us from, or keeps us in compliance with state law, and keeps us from legal challenge. So some things are budgeted, and some things are mandated. Some things are not mandated. Sometimes there's projects that come up, such as the adult ordinance, that just need to be dealt with right of way, and things that aren't as urgent, such as we have begun work a couple years ago on a tree ordinance, kind of go by the wayside, or not the wayside, but the back burner, while we're addressing the hot issue. I feel that it's important for the council to have a good understanding of the status of the long-range planning program and the resources available so that you can continue to make informed decisions in establishing priorities for staff. I provided a comprehensive listing of all the projects I could think of that the planning division is working on, and to some extent other divisions in the community development department participate. I'd like to go through and just briefly touch upon these, and I apologize for the misnumbering of the first item, which I noticed after printing. Sometimes that word processor just messes up. But there are about 20 items on this list, and I did not rank them but provided them in alphabetical order and noted whether they were funded through the budget or whether they're using resources in kind of staff, whether they're outsourced for outside expertise or whether they're in-house documents being prepared, and the year that it was budgeted, and then the status of where it's at. The first one is an adult business zoning ordinance amendment. We're preparing the text for that as we speak. A couple final issues will be addressed at the Planning Commission on November 12th, and then it will go to the Planning Commission for recommendation to the Council in December, on December 9th, and it will be heard at the second City Council meeting in December for the first hearing of that item. We're looking forward to having it adopted in January and completed. That's being prepared in-house and is unfunded. The circulation element, which is one of the elements of the general plan, is nearing completion. They're beginning the environmental review of that project. We're looking for having hearings on that item in February, and that is outsourced to professional transportation planners. And that was funded over 2 years. It was carried over from 1 year to the next in the 03 and 04 budgets. Out of that project, let me back up. I'm kind of going to jump ahead and then go back to it. Today was the submittal date of request for proposals, RFPs, for the land use element update. So I did receive proposals on that project. After the land use element update is complete, it's likely that there will need to be some cleanup, if you will, of the circulation element and possibly some other ordinance amendments so that there is internal consistency. At this time, that will probably, it would, depending on the nature of those, some could be handled in-house in the last budget cycle. And given other commitments of staff, we did outsource that project, and they're in the process of preparing that. We'll hopefully have some draft text to the Planning Commission for consideration in the next month, maybe in December, as things go. But looking forward to concluding that project by the end of February as well. So I think it's looking like February's council meeting will be full. We established the Conference Center Ad Hoc Committee, which is working on following through with implementation of a conference center down at the beach. The results of that effort, just staff participation in that, are research items. So staff at all in various departments ends up with new things to do for preparing for that. The next item is more general, but it was part of one of the goals of the City Council, is the downtown business retention. I talk to potential and new business owners weekly on business ideas in our community, and so does the Community Development Director and other staff. And so that's kind of an ongoing process of, you know, identifying sites with them, working with them to locate. But one of the specific projects which we've been working on over the last year is the traffic mitigation project, and that's going to begin construction in January and hopefully be done by May. The Grand Avenue Facade Enhancement Program was a joint city and Cal Poly project that originally was more of a study project for Cal Poly students. It turned out that the information and renderings they provided would be useful as the basis of design guidelines for West Grand Avenue. And at this time, it was put on the back burner while other items came first. Housing element update, taking the housing element of the general plan to the Planning Commission in October, well, not in October, in on the 12th of November. And hopefully that will be adopted by the City Council in December as well. Then I'll need to submit that to the Department of Housing and Community Development. And they have 60 days to respond to that document. Off the record, I have informally submitted the document for informal feedback so that we get some input on them on our draft text. I haven't heard back yet, but looking forward to doing that. But we can continue on with the process of moving that forward and locally certifying it or adopting it. And then if we need to go back and modify it after HCD works on it, we can bring it back and readopt it. And that primarily has been an in-house effort of the last 6 months. I mean, a year worth of meetings with COG staff and technical advisory, and then 6 months of actual text drafting in between other projects. Out of the housing element, there are a multitude of programs and policies that will need to be implemented. Of those, there's about 11 zoning ordinance amendments suggested in that document, and those would be where we go in and rewrite the regulations on various aspects, parking, mixed use, all of these various things. Those are separate efforts. We could possibly do them all in one time, you know, a very large amendment or break. And I'm looking forward to doing that, but I think it would be best to wait until the element is at least locally adopted and the zoning amendments are in place so that we have tools to make it work for them more easily. And I was expecting to do that in-house. The land use element update, as I stated before, the RFPs are in. We'll be selecting a consultant by December, begin work hopefully that month, and conclude by the following January. Look forward to having significant public input and visioning and outreach program for that. The land use element will also likely result in zoning ordinance amendments required for consistency. Another program which is in process right now is the National Pollution Discharge something, the NPDES, Elimination System, NPDES. That was prepared in-house, and it was sent to the Regional Water Quality Control Board and is being reviewed at this time. But out of that program will be many things to do, primarily with the Public Works Division of the Community Development Department. Some will be planning, some might be administrative. It depends on the nature of the implementation measure. Parking district study, this is something I would like to move on sooner rather than later. I was hoping to start it in September. I started doing a little research of vacant sites and inventory in appropriate places, but to formally really get it going, I want to do that in the next couple months because it's really key to business retention and development. Hoping, though, to conclude preparing and adopting a parking district by late May, and we're looking to do that in-house, possibly with some assistance for mapping outsourced. The Places program is a program that is a collaborative effort between SLOCOG, Cal Poly, and the county, I believe. James can correct me if I'm wrong. But it's essentially a integrated graphic information system that is a powerful analytical tool, more so than any other GIS around. And it's a project that's a mapping system that's being done countywide. And they actually already have our data for the mapping purposes in their system. It's housed at Cal Poly. It's on their Sun systems. And it's a pretty intensive program, but at this point it's going to require staff resources, someone like an intern or a staff assistant, to do a lot of data pulling and inputting. We need to put in land use and information data behind the map. So it's pretty intensive. But it's something that, if we had the ability to do, would be a very powerful analytical tool. The Ramona-specific plan, we're nearing completing that. I'm looking to bring that to City Council by March. That's been prepared primarily by the applicant with some in-house resources, in-kind funding, if you would, or no outside funding, but just use of my time. And this implements one of the goals of developing an enhanced cultural and social amenities in the downtown on the City Council's goal list. Redevelopment projects, it's similar to downtown. Ongoing information, particularly this last year with high turnover in our department update, possibly use of that land and the process to do that will be identified.
Did you direct them to Dave? He's got some good ideas.
You
shot them all down. But they were good ideas, I tell you that.
Well, and we're looking at...
I think you could still discuss some of those with them.
You get another chance.
Yeah, I'm fighting for you, Dave.
We have more S&S home, though.
So when we do the land use element update, properties such as the Akui property will come forward as areas to plan for, and how do we really want to see it developed in the future. The tree ordinance, we did start that project about a year and a half, 2 years ago. We were going down that path and then got derailed, taking care of more urgent projects. Although it is something that really does need to be addressed, we do need some oak tree protection measures that are adopted versus just policies. And also, we should prepare a public tree, street tree inventory and list of approved trees. It would be very helpful to the development process in that respect. Looking forward to doing that in spring, beginning workshops in April and concluding in June. The underground utility study, that was one of the 04 budget goals. At this time, it's unfunded for outsourcing and... given the technical nature of that one, we might want to talk about how to implement it. I'm not sure we have the in-house resources to really move forward with that project. We can talk about it.
Susan, back to the tree thing.
Yeah.
Are most cities on the same length as for trees?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Do they have a different list than we do? Trees, or does most cities have the same?
There's some similarities. It depends on the region and your climate.
Well, besides that.
Yeah. There's, for street trees in particular, it's real tough because there's no real perfect street tree, but cities typically do have lists, and there's some commonalities. And then there's trees that over the years and experience have not worked out, such as the liquid ambers or a certain breed of ficus that you see downtown on Higuera Street. While they're beautiful, they really tear up the sidewalk. So I have the tree lists of Arroyo Grande and San Luis, and I believe Atascadero and Paso.
What about Pacific Grove? I know there's one area where they just did their redevelopment, and that's really pretty.
So there are good street trees, good park trees. They need to be environmentally appropriate for your region. And also, some areas have more of a cultural or just landmark or identity trees. Pismo's really moved towards palm trees. I know some people
see that.
Places like that or not. But
actually, so is Las Vegas.
Palm Springs.
Make sure palm trees are on that list. No.
With certain identity, we can include those. Or identity for focal points, and then street trees be other for canopy. We can work that out. But does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. The next to last item is a zoning ordinance update. Those are all the projects we're working on. I think the objective was to just apprise you of what we are doing, and the status of what we're working on, and if there's things that we're missing or things that you think should be off the list, we can talk about it. But it's mostly just informational.
Question?
Yeah.
John?
With regard to housing site identification, I understand where you're going as far as saying let's wait until the housing element and all that's done. Clearly, I've demonstrated I'm not a very patient person because I think we may have vehicle tools out there at which we can do this. Is there at all any way we can, let's say, consider this a special project and have the economic development coordinator or someone similar help out in identifying potential sites and making the initial contacts? What I'm afraid of is that we're going to wait a year and a half to two, and it's been how long since you formed the first redevelopment agency? So I'm a little anxious on that.
I guess one of the things that I heard Susan mention was that while the people self-help housing is an excellent option, that it's not the only option and that there are other folks coming in that are talking to us. So I think the sites have been identified in the process, but they are not necessarily blessed, for want of a better term, in the process because the housing element hasn't been updated yet. So we could identify for everybody's information what those sites are. At this point, they would be potentially being putting the cart before the horse, depending on where it ends up in the housing element approval process.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I think I agree with maybe half of what you just said. The other part of where I'm going is that I think we have policies and programs in place that would allow us to move forward if someone showed interest today. So how do we facilitate that without waiting a year and a half to two? And so I guess that's what sort of why I was thinking, trying to brainstorm is, can we call, is it, would this, would it be worth making this a special project and having someone assist Susan in at least identifying the site, getting a map down, making this information available to people, self-help, to Slo Housing Authority, and anyone else who is in the business of providing affordable housing?
Jake, did you?
Well, the sites are already identified in terms of the housing element. The underutilized and vacant sites are already there as part of information and record. I guess the question is do you want us to be proactive in contacting all nonprofit housing corporations and say, here's our vacant, unutilized parcels. Are you interested in coming to the community? And if you want us to do that, with the full direction of the council, at least majority of the council, we can certainly bring it up as a special project.
Well, I think that's exactly what I'm getting at, but obviously that's just my take on it. So clearly there's four others up here who'd have to weigh in on that.
Yeah, the information that you're talking about is already generated by city staff. So.
Okay. See, and I'm wondering if this wouldn't be actually an item that would be
a community, that's a whole different process. But right now, from my understanding, is throw out the information to the nonprofit housing corporations, and those are willing to come in to start looking at the community for potential projects, have them do their background work, find out what our existing policies are, what maybe some of the new policies or criteria may be more helpful for them to make their project a success. And, again, if you want us to do that with the majority direction of the council, we can certainly do that.
Great. Thank you, Jim.
Does that answer your question, John?
Yeah, he answered quite my question very well. Thank you. I don't know if we want to discuss that this night amongst this council.
I don't think so. I think it almost have to go to an agenda item, yeah. I don't know. Any other questions of Susan or Jake?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
I had one more. Susan, on the land use element update, you had mentioned visioning process. Are there going to be opportunities in which we can have the public give input? And more specifically, you know, I had mentioned possibly going into the neighborhoods or finding locations to where we could kind of encourage people to participate more so than they have in the past. So.
Yes.
Good answer.
I wrote that into the RFP, but they include a public participation and visioning component. I received the proposals today, and I haven't had an opportunity to look at them yet.
Okay. Thanks, Susan.
That's it. Anybody else? Steve.
You know, we talk about this stuff throughout the year, and it's really helpful to see it all on paper, and I really appreciate this data. It's great. Do want to comment? I'm glad Dee brought up the tree ordinance, and I think we had some discussion on it in the last meeting. I was on Los Osos Valley Road heading towards Los Osos over the weekend, and I drove by the Tolosa Housing Development and saw some really beautiful mature trees, brand new, planted in front of that development. So I would hope as part of this ordinance we're looking at size. Scalability,
okay.
As we identify this. That's all I have. Thanks.
Dave?
Susan, I had one. When I was reading this report, I was wondering I was envisioning this department as just water right up to here, kind of saying, we're overloaded. And is that part of the intent of this, was to say, we've got our hands really full now?
I think the intent is to let you know what we're doing, and so that when you have new ideas, because there's always new ideas coming up, to think, how is it appropriate to budget for it in the next budget cycle? Should we add it to the list right now? Is it more important than the things that we're already doing? How to prioritize it and when to do it so that we can program it into our ongoing workload? Because if, you know, we decide we need a specific plan or we need some something else that's not on the list right now, we need to think really hard about how we're going to do that, because it all costs time and or money.
You understand?
Yeah.
One of the items, number 7, was a coastal view protection. And I understand you're outsourcing that. Was that a
deeper study than you'd think? Okay. And reviewing things such as lot coverage, changes with that. It's more than just changing some words on the paper. It's actually, I drove around with the consultant, and we looked at views from every angle in the neighborhoods. And that particular firm has experience with the exact same thing in many other cities. They know what the hottest tools are to address it.
Okay.
It probably won't please everybody. It's one of those types of issues. But felt that having the expertise would be helpful. And at the time, with the workload, needing to really pay attention to the housing element, there was just no way I could do it. It's just...
Thank you.
Dee?
No, I have no question.
I don't have any questions, but I have a comment. I would like to commend you on the organization of this chart, and I think it's been a long time since someone has been as organized as you are in that position. And that's not to say that they weren't good at that position. It's just saying that that priorities need to be set, and I think that's why this council at the first of the year tried to set priorities and get goals so that we would do exactly what you're saying. We wouldn't come back with every 2 weeks someone come up with a good idea. Hey, can staff do this? We agree on priorities, and those are the things that we want our staff to do for this year. And I really commend you on this list. It really shows how much this, not just your, you know, the whole planning staff has to do, what they're mandated to do, and how long it's been since many of these things have been done, and gives us a roadmap of where to go. So I thank you for this staff report, and I think that the council in the whole would probably say the same thing, but I'll let them say it too. Okay. Any other questions? Or this isn't a public hearing, but if someone in the audience would like to speak to this issue, now's your time. You got 3 minutes. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the next agenda item. That is number 7, the authorization to proceed with the bid process for North Oak Park Street Widening Project. They have 2 council members that have conflicts.
So yeah.
They have property within the 300 to 500 feet of this project. One is Mr. Ekbaum, and the other one is Ms. Santos. And we'll see you.
So I can't move approval?
No.
You know, you can from out in the hallway.
But let me suggest something. If you go in the city manager's office and watch the monitor, it's real nice. That's what I did on the last issue, and it's real helpful. You don't miss anything, and it's really good. Have Steve open it up for you. He's in there, I think. So. And a staff report will be by Jake Raper.
Mayor, members of the council.
Jake, just a second.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Just as a matter of clarification, upon more detailed review, your property is not within the separation requirements, so you do not have a conflict.
Mayor the business?
Yeah, yes, that's correct. You don't have a problem.
Ramona?
Are you trying to, like, split out?
Yeah. Ramona and Oak Park?
The bid process for the North Oak Park Street widening project. As the city council knows, is that this project had begun in 2001, and we're at a point where now we're finishing up the engineering drawings for the project itself. In August of 2003, the city did receive authorization from Caltrans to proceed with the bid process. As part of the early part of the funding project, we identified a shortfall of approximately $312,000. And the city had been working with SLOCOG to identify some funding sources to make up that shortfall. And there's a process and a solution to that, which was to borrow from the city of Grover Beach's future allocation. And we believe there is a solution to that and that there sufficient funds exist. Further, the California Environmental Quality Act documentation was completed in 2001. Then in mid-2002, the NEPA process, which is the National Environmental Protection Act, that process was completed as well. In talking with GTA, the city's engineering firm, the engineering drawings will be completed this week, and the bid packages will be begun to be assembled to go out for the bid should the city council authorize us to proceed. As noted in the staff report, authorizing us to proceed with the bid process does not necessarily mean that we're committed to funding the project. Should, for whatever reason, the funding sources dry up and we're not able to secure the funding, there is no obligation on the city's part to proceed with the project. In the audience tonight is James Wetherly of SLOCOG, and we asked him to be present should there be any questions relating to funding through SLOCOG and its allocation. The staff report identifies generally what the project description is, and if you wish, I can sort of describe that for the audience. And I'm sure the audience is probably well aware of what the North Oak Park widening project is all about. But what we are asking for is the City Council to authorize staff to proceed with the North Oak Park bid process. And if you have any questions, I or the city manager or Mr. Wetherly from SLOCOG certainly can respond to those questions.
Questions? Steve? John?
You don't have to ask questions if you don't want to.
Wait a minute. He's a planner.
Well, the first thing I wanted to say is, and maybe I can get these two to agree with me. You had just talked about describing the project. You know, we've had several staff reports come here this evening. There have been no maps or graphics to illustrate to the folks in the audience or those at home what we are talking about. So I would certainly hope maybe we can get some consensus that in the future in presentations that we can have that.
Okay.
Your verbal presentation was very well, and we don't mind looking at you, but if we had a graphic, that'd be perfect. Thanks, Jake.
Okay.
With respect to the project, I think it's great. I think it's time that we certainly move this forward. I just wanted, I guess Jim Gehring's in the audience this evening.
He asked if he should be here, and I did not see any need for him to be here. So if you have critical questions, I can certainly follow up with you and get those answers.
If there are landscape plans, if it calls out for 15-inch box trees, and we know what those look like, if there might be an opportunity to maybe go with fewer trees that are more mature and taller at this point. And those are pretty much my concerns that I wanted to bring forward this evening. Okay. But other than that, I think it's a long overdue project that we definitely want to keep moving in the right direction now that we have momentum.
And as part of my presentation, as I recall, at the last city council meeting, some residents appeared before the council and asking you to move forward with the project, and a representative from Caltrans was here saying, yes, we blessed a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And so, again, tonight we just wanted to keep you informed, get your authorization where we can keep the project moving.
I wanted to kind of go with what John had said with the walls. My recollection was that the walls were stair-stepping and that they weren't any higher than 6 to 8 feet in different areas there. I don't remember them being like one big wall, and maybe that's why we needed graphics today. But did you think there was like one big wall, or is it?
I thought it was stepping, but I thought the height on the initial wall that was more on the pedestrian scale where people were going to be walking was going to be, a pretty substantial 14. Height. Yeah.
Susan may have some information.
Okay.
Might be able to help a little bit. Part of the NEPA review included particular examination of aesthetic impacts, and some of the recommendations, and then eventually they were integrated, included breaking up that wall so that it wasn't just this narrow, dark corridor mm-hmm. entering our city. And what we did was we stepped it into two steps of walls, right. More like you're thinking of the 6 to 8 feet,
right.
And they're Allen block walls with the geogrid system, and there'll be landscape planting in the first tier and then above on the upper side. on the downslope, the stand of trees would need to be removed, and we have a comprehensive landscape and irrigation plan that was designed by RRM, actually. Well, actually, Canon and RRM, joint thing. And it includes different heights and canopy coverage of trees, because we want to try to get tall trees as soon as possible.
Yes.
But we also want to have kind of the middle, lower canopy integrated as well. So we have a real nice landscape plan that was very well thought out.
Great.
I'm hoping that won't be a blight.
Good to know.
The and I don't think with the width of the street that it would look like a tunnel or anything, because in my respect, looking at 4th Street as you go north over 4th Street down into Pismo, we have a wall there that's probably close to 10 to 12 feet tall on one side, but it has some vegetation that slopes over and somewhat obscures the wall and kind of maybe makes it less subtle. But one of the problems of the vegetation is that it needs to be taken care of probably every 6 months, because it makes it very difficult to walk through there. So I think that we've addressed those. I thought we'd address those. That's why I was asking if John, you know, had the right, if we were on different pages, because I remember it being stair-stepping.
Well, I think we were on different pages, because I recall the plans that we saw, the walls were not broken up as well.
Wall.
Yeah.
The CEQA review was just one wall.
I thought Jim came back with a stair-stepped.
Yeah. So, well, we did want to reduce the height of the...
Constructed and
you better make sure those walls aren't too tall, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Those walls of Jericho will be coming down.
I'll be looking for your fifth community development.
That's right.
Do you have any other questions of staff?
I don't think so, unless someone in the audience has a concern or a question. Robert.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a couple of questions. First of all, I support his idea of some blueprints or some architectural drawings, because very interested in the wall. My question would be, is how high is the wall going to be on average, and how long is the wall going to be, and what is it going to be constructed of?
It's going to be as high as necessary and as long as necessary. I can guarantee that.
Is it going to be a concrete wall broken up? My other question would be, is taggers, what are we going to do to prevent taggers from making this wall their next bulletin board? That's all.
Hopefully,
but I think it's a great project. I think we need to move forward. But you got the right idea. You know, if it's too long and too high and no preventative measures are taken to prevent tagging, and we all know what's going to happen. But other than that, I'm all for the project. Just
actually, knock on wood, tagging has been down for a couple of years in the community, and we've been real lucky, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Anybody else that would like to speak to this issue? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council for consideration and deliberation.
Well, I don't think we need to discuss anymore. I'd move that we authorize staff to proceed with the North Oak Park Street Widening Project.
I agree 100%. So I just wanted to shut up and say, let's get going on this.
Well, we got there. We got there.
Okay, all in favor? Say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion passes 3-0. Dave and Dee, come on back. Our next item will be item number 8, the fire engine award of the bid award of a new fire engine. And Fire Chief Jack Criswell will be given our report.
Before John Wysong leaves the building, oh, he's gone.
Too late. He's left the building.
He's left the building.
Now, we didn't tell you to go to the people's kitchen in between items. In between items.
Or, too.
Boy.
I left my Oreo inside.
Jack, go ahead.
Okay, Mayor, council members. John, I'm sorry I didn't bring a picture.
John, they're red. They're red and they have four wheels, yeah.
So yeah, the most important thing is it's red.
That would have been the best picture.
Next meeting. Okay, this year you budgeted $345,000 for a purchase of a new engine and $95,000 to equip the engine. In late July, we prepared the specifications and distributed to 8 fire engine manufacturing companies with a bid closing date of August 26th. None of the vendors providing bids met all of the prepared specifications, and all bids were over the amount budgeted for this purpose. At your October 6th meeting, you rejected all of the bids received and directed staff to amend the bid specifications and to submit the changes to all of the vendors. In early October, specifications were prepared and distributed in 9 fire engine manufacturing companies with a closing date of, we're looking at 9 months.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fast. Well, that's exciting.
Yep. Yep, they said they could do it in 9 months.
Dave? So, oh, I'm sorry. Steve, go ahead.
Does someone return it or something?
Yeah, as soon as they're through with it down in L.A., they can bring it
up. It's a lot darker than it used to be.
A little something happened to it.
Clean all the ashes off of it.
To repaint.
Yeah. Bondo. That's great.
I would like to say that Ventura County, L.A. City, Newport Beach, among other departments, have gone to American LaFrance, and they really like them. They like the service that they get.
Didn't we have one a long, long time ago?
1954, number American LaFrance. Yeah. Right.
It's the best-looking one. Isn't that cool one that's out there?
And they're not convertibles anymore.
Actually, it belongs to Cliff Park.
If we had a picture, I could tell what you guys are talking about.
the deal over there. Yeah. Dave, you had a question?
I had a question, and it's when we went back out to bid, the first time around they were too high and you were going to change your specifications a little bit. Are we going to see in this next budget a number of items to add on to it that we didn't get trying to keep it under this bid? I mean, I don't know what you eliminated to drop the
Well, no, bid. Some of the things we just changed, the different kind of seats, different ladder racks, different things like that.
So they could meet.
We did cut out the computer, and that probably will come back next year for your consideration.
But nothing really significant?
No, no, not at all.
Thank you.
Anybody else? This is kind of like Price is Right, huh? You've all overbid. Going back to number one bidder. What's your bid, John? Oh, okay. Any other people in the audience that would like to speak to this issue? I'll bet Robert has got something to say.
Just get it done. The last week proved why we need a third fire truck. While one was down south, our provisional staffing, our sole remaining fire truck is responding to Oceano, leaving our city without a fire truck, relying completely on mutual aid at that point to prove that our city is in critical need of this third fire truck. Let's do it.
Anybody else? Okay. Bring it back to council. I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we award the bid for the Becker Fire Equipment Company, American LaFrance, adopt the resolution and direct staff to begin the purchase process. The processing purchase.
A second. Are you done?
Motion and a second. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Mayor, discussion.
I'm sorry.
Yes. And further direct the city manager. Is that right? Is that what you wanted?
Yes,
negotiate
ma'am.
The most favorable lease purchase terms and authorize the mayor to execute the financing agreement on the city's behalf.
Her denture was slipping a little bit there, so she had trouble spitting that out.
Do you want me to?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I borrowed discussion.
Well, we're getting an American LaFrance. Chief, is there going to be a bell on this engine? No.
Yes.
Yes, Steve. Wink. No, I think it's exciting that we're getting something from a reputable company with years and years of great experience, and I'm excited.
Any other discussion?
Excuse me?
Yeah, I seconded the motion.
He was protecting me.
We have a motion and a second. All roll call vote, please.
From San Luis Obispo County that responded to the Southern California fires. We sent one engine and 3 firefighters. Out of those firefighters, we had 1 chief officer, 1 engineer, and 1 firefighter. We departed on Saturday, October 25th, and returned Saturday, November 1st, so we were gone for a full 7 days. Out of our county, there were 325 personnel, including hand crew inmates, 29 engines, and an assortment of other vehicles, and this was just from San Luis County. So this really didn't leave the county with very much apparatus. The exodus of personnel and equipment prompted AG Fire to call us and request us to back them up on any fires that they had over there because they were very short of personnel. So in order to fill that request, I went to Ron, and we agreed that it would be a good idea to start staffing 24 hours a day while our crews were all out of town. And that way we could keep our commitment with the citizens of Grover Beach, Oceano, and with AG. Pismo Beach also was down to one engine over there. So we all pulled together, and it uncovered everything, and it worked out really well. They just had that one big fire up on Cuesta Grade, which really cut everything short. But Oceana went up on that one because they have a four-wheel drive. I just had a short recap. I'm sure if you've been following it on the news or in the paper, there were 740,000 acres burned, 3,398 homes destroyed, 20 deaths, including one firefighter, and there were over 13,000 personnel on the fires, and they were from all over California and the neighboring states. Just a plug for the Red Cross. My wife is a volunteer with them, and she's been down there for a week, and she'll probably be down there for another week, and they're surveying all the burned-out areas and so that they can get a handle on who FEMA's going to help and who they're not. As I guess in the years past, there's people going in there signing up for FEMA money, and their house was still standing. So it's a pretty important role they have down there. But I'd like to have Bart come up and say a few words. He was down there for the full week.
Mayor, honorable council members. As the chief said, that was probably the longest 7 days of my life. It was quite astounding, the amount of damage that was done, and just trying to stay ahead of the fires is primarily the goal, was the goal in mind. As you know, we do structure protection, which is basically clearing an area around the house and doing the best thing we can, or best we can, trying to save the house from burning. We did a lot of that this weekend, or this week. We ended up first fall in the DeVore area, which is in San Bernardino County. It was pretty spectacular to see fire on both sides of the road while we're driving to the area where we were assigned for structure protection. In this, in the beginning of the fires were starting to come down the hills towards communities, and with all of the efforts of the firefighters, and including ourselves, we did manage to stop the fire from entering that neighborhood and destroying those homes. So we were commended for that, and we felt pretty good about it. Tough to try to stay ahead of it. We did end up losing two lengths of hose due to the fire burning behind us, and we got out, and we ended up getting dumped on by two aircraft. So that was quite interesting. So
watched it.
If you've ever seen that on the news, just imagine it on top of you. So it's quite a sludgy mess. But again, we were able to at least slow the fire and get it to go around some of these homes, and did a fine job of that. And then finally, we ended up in the little community of Running Springs, which I'm sure you all heard of on the news. If you didn't, that, again, is another little area that the entire town was basically surrounded by fire. And we had our group, plus I believe last number was about 15 other strike teams in our group that were in this community trying to stop this fire from burning this community. And we got basically a standing ovation from the firefighters for our help and from the fire chief, because there's just millions of dollars that would have been lost if this community burned. Fortunately, we did end up coming home, thank God, because of the rains and the weather. The kinds of temperatures that we were having to battle were 40-degree days and 9-degree nights. Steve, you know, and everything you've learned, that doesn't compute. Fire doesn't burn. Well, the problem was is we were dealing with what they call 1,000-degree or 1,000-hour fuels, which is those great big trees and those dead pines that we were dealing with, and they don't absorb moisture. So they were burning just like nothing happened. So in closing, I would like to say the council and the people of Grover Beach should be very proud of the crews that I had, due to their professionalism and their dedication was second to none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Bart.
Yes.
Who else was on your immediate strike team?
We also have Paso Robles Station 21, which is the CDF station at the airport, Pass Robles Fire and South Bay Fire.
And who was your leader?
We started out with Chief Fiebig from Arroyo Grande, and we ended the week with Kevin Taylor, Battalion Chief of Pass Robles.
Good. Good job, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for participating, and thank you for making Grover Beach proud.
Yes.
Good job. I did talk to Chief Fiebig last week, and he said the devastation and the extent of that fire is just beyond your imagination, and Chief Fiebig's been on a few fires, so if he was awed with that fire, I'm sure it was just unbelievable. He felt really bad that he had to come back, but he had a family commitment, so thank everyone from this whole South County and from our whole county, and once again, thanks for the Grover Beach Fire Department. You guys are great. Thank you. Council committee reports. Dave?
I was just trying to think here.
Wait a minute? You want to?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Let me gather.
D, got anything?
No, I guess as we can do that on council.
John?
Nothing. Well, we'll do it on council communications.
Let's say we had an EVC board meeting on last Wednesday. Some of the other items we discussed at the last meeting. Oh, mailboxes and possibly at some point in the future coming back with a policy. I think at the last council meeting there was a request as far as the traffic committee where I believe a citizen had asked that we install a red curb 6 feet on either side of a series of mailboxes. I think we felt that was more of a civil issue between the owners or the homeowners, and at some point possibly coming forward and saying if it's a gang box, maybe it's something that we'd want to establish a policy for putting a red curb to discourage cars from parking in front of it and having people's mail not delivered. I think that was all.
Right, and we also discussed animal control services and how we report barking dogs to animal control and how that's handled to ensure that there's follow-up by animal control during the day if the barking occurs at night. That was done with a training bulletin. We also talked about parking of motorhomes and trailers on city streets and what we might want to do about that in the future.
Thank you, Chief.
John, I had a question on the committee that is dealing with the chamber contract. Is anything happening there? I mean, this has been going on for I don't know how many months. Is there any way we can?
Yes, we are going to bring that to you. We just had to contact one more person, and he has been out of town. And as soon as we have contact with that person, we're going to come back with a full report.
Okay, it's been a while since I just wondered where that was at. Okay,
we're working on it as fast as we can, and we're just waiting for one more person.
Thank you. Are you done, John? Or
yeah, and he's done too.
Thank you,
Steve,
John.
Dave, whoever's first.
That's Dave from Steve.
Well, you both look the same.
To me, it's just the hairline.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have nothing of substance to report. I'll just share it during council communications.
Dave?
This Wednesday, I'm going to have a slow order and slow cog meeting. But last Tuesday, we met here in this chambers with Rhonda Carley and some people from slow cog. And there was some information. There's such a shortage of funding for all of our projects that they're going to be reevaluating what projects to fund and what projects to drop and which projects to postpone. I mean, it's going from bad news to worse. Items such as 4th Street, he's told us, are just dead. Yeah. It just will not receive any funding. Oak Park is still in the works. And, of course, our downtown project is fine. But things are really getting bad. There's going to be a big meeting in December and where we evaluate all the projects that are in the works in the county, and we're going to start prioritizing them and saying yay or nay to a lot of them. And the final vote will be in I believe, March. It was kind of an issue about who was going to do slow cog. Whoever is going to do it for next year needs to be at that December meeting. So normally we select the committee assignments later in December, but we need to look at that one.
Maybe it would be something that both yourself plus I think John was slated to go next year. Maybe both of you could go to the meeting and you could update him on.
That would work too, because it's going to be the decision is going to be made December, and the final vote will be in March. But you need to be at one. So if anybody else is interested in being an alternate or something, whoever wants to be in a committee next time should plan on being prepared for the December meeting. So,
okay.
And the other subject was too STA funding, which we have a formula now that divides up the funding throughout the county, and a lot of it is where our local street projects money comes from. It's divided up 65% for 101 major projects, 101 40, 11% for roads of regional significance, which is our Oak Park project was funded that way, 11% for local choice, which is wherever you spend it wherever you want, 9% for enhancements, and 4% for transit. So that's the way we've been dividing up STA funding. We now have a countywide white paper they talk about that county staff has prepared that is suggesting that all of this funding be reserved for major projects of regional significance, which means we will get nothing. That's a hot paper that's floating around right now. That will be one of the big discussions on December. But their concept is spend it on 101 and 46 and interchanges. Interchanges on 101, perhaps widening, and continue spending on 46. Well, 46 is still $150 million out. I mean, they've got projects that we can spend up there. We've got $40 million we can spend on a bridge at Santa Maria. So that would be spending all of the money that we have used for regional significance or local streets or any kind of enhancements, which are environmental enhancements and stuff. That all the money will be gone. So that's the kind of things that are in the works right now.
Yeah, and one of the thoughts I have as you're saying all this is that if the money's drying up, then I would think that the slow cog staff should dry up a little bit too. I think that there should be some, you know, I mean, if there's not that many projects, not that much money, then we probably wouldn't need as much staff up there. I mean, that would be just something I would say from a devil's advocate point of view from, you know.
That
might save us some money,
too. After we weed out what projects are thrown out, that's very possible.
That's what I'm saying.
But meantime, it's going to be some huge decisions, and the kind of decisions are, should we let – some cities are going to want to allocate all the STA money strictly by population or something, where we all get a little bit. Lately, the last few years, and the thing that has helped us with Oak Park is we've pooled our money and spent it where it together would do the most good. So we've been the recipient of some of this pooling of money. We've gotten more than our share in the recent past.
We need to put pressure on our federal government, too, about,
good luck. The real choice is going to be spending it on an interchange on 101 or 46 or local streets. I mean, that's going to be the real bottom line. And county staff is very strong in support of this white paper. I think I'll get copies made up for all of you. But it basically is saying...
Sure, they don't care about our streets. They want to fix the 101.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, it's a good thing we got North Oak Park.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
we better get that done and finished on Grand Avenue also.
Yes, that's separate.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Very
thorough. I don't have a committee report that has any real substance. There's not really much going on in my committees. I don't know if I'm going to steal any thunder here, but I just want to talk about the pumpkin carving contest, and maybe that's something you guys were talking about. But I thought that the council participated very, very nicely at that pumpkin carving contest. Everybody showed up in costume, and it was awesome. Steve was telling me that Morro Bay wants a copy of our of the tape that they've just edited and that will be going on, I believe, tonight, Steve. Is that right? It'll start showing tonight, and right after the council meeting, they'll run the pumpkin carving one. And Morro Bay is pretty impressed with the way Grover Beach handles Halloween. So it was very fun, and I think it was a great great supportive effort from the council, and I thank you all, and hope everybody will take a look at that when it comes up on the on Channel 20.
And I'd just like to note that I didn't have my costume repertoire has increased from a referee.
Golf clap.
Well, I think
we had a manager there.
We might have had you nervous when we said we got a rope, we got a trio, we need a referee. That might have got you a little nervous.
Huh? Let it not be said I can't follow some direction.
Okay, we have, if there's no other council agendas on their council committee reports, we'll go through the city's manager agenda. There's nothing. City council agenda, there's not anything. Public communication at this time, if anybody in the public wants to speak for 3 minutes. Chief Bradbury.
John Bradbury, Chief of Police. I want to let you know why you had a successful pumpkin carving night the night before Halloween. The next night, we had a very successful night on Halloween. We had four cars and four cats cars out there. And very little activity, very few broken pumpkins on our street. It's the quietest Halloween on a Friday that anyone can ever remember. Cops and Kids Field Day at Soto Park yesterday, very successful. And last time out, I mentioned the loan of one of our officers to NTF and how successful that was. I can now tell you that we served the first search warrant in the last 10 or 11 years that we initiated for drugs that we didn't have NTF do for us. We did it ourselves, went out there, served it ourselves with their help, and we netted the party at that house with drugs, and very successful in cleaning up that neighborhood, then followed up with other activities that may help that person.
Okay, any council communications? Steve.
Well, I think the carved pumpkin event, and I'm sure Dee will throw something in. It was by far the most well-attended of these carved pumpkin festivals that I've been to, and I think it was great that we all sucked it up and got in character. And, and talking to people, other cities, they don't have this kind of participation, so I appreciate everyone doing it. The Parks and Rec Commission, the Cuesta College students, everyone did a great job. It was freezing, and it was packed.
Yeah, it was.
It was great.
Yeah, I looked around and you guys were all gone. I went, what am I doing here?
That was the kid parade that you were the only one in.
I think so. But I won.
We'd also mentioned that when Dave and I stepped out that it was nice to see all those council members and the Park and Rec all dressed up and everything, and even the city manager. It was great.
Wait a minute. Was he dressed up?
Were you guys going to let him get away with that costume?
Yeah. He was a manager.
I'm sorry, I just got back from my baseball game. Next time.
But how we sort of want to continue this on to the Christmas parade that we all partake in that, and that I think Steve said that Pismo is going to come to our parade, their council. So.
I think they did last year, didn't they?
Yeah, they had that old fire engine they rode on, I think. Yeah. I have one last thing.
Okay, Steve, sure.
I'm glad Robert Hayes is still here because you can see the walls are tagged in the council chambers. And that's it's a special wall that cleans. It's I took a group of third graders through City Hall, and it was a great experience. The kids, I asked them if it was punishment, but they had to watch Channel 20 the night before for an hour. And a couple of them said, yeah, it was punishment. But the others said, no, they learned a lot. They do a lot of research on the history of Grover Beach. They all knew who Faye Keene was. I mean, these kids were really well prepared. They all walked in with clipboards. They were very well behaved. Kathy from Parks and Rec helped me entertain them for a while. And I think they went and saw the chief of the police department afterwards. And we'll clean that. But I just wanted you to see. It's always fun to read the messages from them. That's
okay,
it.
Steve, what's the excuse for the other little room we have in there? Whose kids were those?
That was the Parks and Rec Commission meeting when my children were misbehaving, so I banished them to the conference room, and I see they tagged the dry erase board in there. So I'll clean that one.
Okay.
Anyone else have any council communications?
Are we going to have this after the next meeting also, or?
What's that?
Council communications.
We're going to close later? This meeting, and then we're going to go to special.
Are we going to have council communications after that?
I don't know. Is it on
no,
there?
It's not
we
on
could.
There. It's not on there.
Go ahead. Do you want to do it now?
I could. It's a little touchy. I think that we have different ideas of things that are a benefit to the community, and rather than us voice our opinions on what others do, I would like to see us separate our council expense budget item into individual ones.
What did
rather
you
than,
say?
Rather than having one expense item for all council peoples in our budget, I'd like to see one separated individually. That would eliminate any of us from thinking that, well, I don't think that was right of him to do that or something. If we all are budgeted a certain amount, or if we are all just itemized separately so that we can justify our own actions. And I don't see that as being too negative. Other than that, we are now it's all lumped into one budget item, whether it's 10,000 or 15,000, whatever the number is.
Didn't we used to do that before?
I don't think we did.
Years ago?
No. But I know the county does it. And I was just thinking that if we all were budgeted a certain amount, and if we didn't spend it, we didn't spend it. If we did, it came out of our, I don't know. I don't see it as a huge issue. It's just something that would eliminate somebody from saying something about somebody else's expenses to the city. How's that?
Are we going to discuss that?
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. This is just
actually, I don't think we can discuss it. I think it needs to be agendized.
Well, you can have a discussion that would lead to direction of staff to bring the item back to you as an agendized item.
Okay. Steve?
Yeah, I don't see a problem with what David's throwing out as an idea right now. I think things like serving on committees for the League of California Cities only enhances the experience that we can bring into our own community to better serve our citizens. I don't think any of us are looking to abuse city funds. I think we're looking to do our job better. So I support that 100%. I don't see a problem with it.
I agree. Certainly, I don't have anything to hide, and I think Steve's right on the money. What he's talking about, participating in league events to enhance our ability to do our job with this for this city. And I was one of those gentlemen who expressed being on one of those committees, and to be quite honest, I was thinking that I would pay out of my own pocket. That wasn't even a big issue for me. So, hey, if that's the direction that this council wants to go, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, I guess all we have to do is direct staff to itemize it. I don't know that we need to do anything else. Is that? Can you do that, Gayla? Is that? That's a possibility. Okay.
You wait, Gayla.
That works for everybody. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so at this time, if there's no more public council communications, we're going to adjourn this meeting, and then we're going to. Excuse me. How could I miss you?
We thought you were tired.
Okay, council member. Excuse me.
No, you won't see me sitting there. I feel sorry for you as it is. First of all, I just wanted to say that I was a sponsor of the pumpkin carving contest, a very small sponsor, and I thought it was a great community event. And John's costume was pretty good. And her costume is right out of a fairy tale, and the mayor looked pretty good. I missed the other two. But the reason why I stood back up here tonight is...
We had such good costumes, they didn't know who we were.
Yeah. I thought he was one of the little kids wearing a beard. But the main reason why I stood this county, and I think that the district attorney just poorly mishandled the case. I can't say anything good about it at all. Mm-hmm. And I sincerely hope that he does not run for re-election, or that he loses his next election solely based on the David Freitas and Sarah Scruggs case. It's an embarrassment to this county. It's an embarrassment to this city. I know the police department has worked hard to bring the charges against David Freitas. He's clearly guilty of voluntary manslaughter. He did hit two pedestrians in a crosswalk. Why these charges were not brought into a court of law much sooner is beyond belief. And I just hope that justice is done and peace is brought to the Sarah Scruggs family. And once again, I think the district attorney's office should be deeply embarrassed, and I hope this man never runs for an elected office again. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Martin, want to say something?
Okay, can I adjourn the meeting now? I'm just kidding. Okay, we're going to adjourn this meeting, and we're going to convene the special meeting of the Grover Beach City Council for Monday, May 3rd. And can we have a roll call, please?
Here.
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 Here. Now, public communications. He's gone. Okay. Anybody that would like to speak for 3 minutes and all that stuff, now's your time. Doesn't look like anybody wants to do that. Ken? No? Okay. Business. Consolidation of police services. Staff report. Who's going to do our staff report? Is it going to be City Manager Ron Anderson?
I'd be happy to introduce the idea. As the council will recall, when you adopted 17 community goals, one of the 17 goals was to enhance the provision of safety services, particularly police and fire, and to look at opportunities for cost-benefit savings that would result in perhaps a savings in one area might result in an enhancement of a service in another area. One of the opportunities that staff began working on was the concept of consolidation of communications and dispatch in the police services in the Five Cities area. And in fact, we have been working with the cities of Pismo Beach and Arroyo Grande in that area. Council asked us almost 2 months ago now to look at stepping up to different, more comprehensive approaches. And we provided council with some information from the International Association of the Chiefs of Police about the consolidation process that they have gone through in other agencies and how that might apply to this community and to the Five Cities area. And what Councilmember Lieberman had asked.
I think the essence of this was it was a goal that we all agreed to do is to explore enhancing our emergency services organizations within the city. And if we found cost savings in one jurisdiction or in one department, if that could be applied to enhance services in another. This is just an idea that I was hoping we could throw out and talk about tonight. It's kind of an objective report talking about how other agencies have had the discussion and have decided to either abandon or move forward with a consolidation of police services. And what I'd like to focus on is seeing if everyone can get behind the first step, which is the one-day retreat, exploring the potential of consolidation. And the paper talks about it. You include some stakeholders. So you have staff. You have elected officials. You have patrol officers. You have members of the community in this room, and it's facilitated by an outside person who has experience with this. And you really gauge in that one-day period, do our neighbors or do we have any mutual interest or benefit from moving forward to a more in-depth analysis? And I mean, personally, obviously, I have some pretty strong feelings that we should go down this one-day retreat, you know, baby step to see what's out there, or even more pertinent than that, sending an invitation, if we come to that consensus tonight, to Arroyo Grande and Pismo Beach and say, are you interested in joining us for a facilitated discussion? If they say, no thanks, we're good with dispatch, then obviously we're done before we even get to this workshop.
So what's our budget, council budget?
Dave's going to Dave's accrued $47 from last year, okay, that he's going to journal entry to me.
My pleasure.
No, I asked Ron actually to do some background with this organization, and he has some basic information.
The chief looked into different options as it relates to what this organization has done before, and had talked to a number of management consulting firms that do facilitation like this. For the full-blown kind of activity, would be somewhere between $25,000 and $35,000 to go all the way through the process. To have the one-day pulse-checking kind of thing, is this something that there is sufficient interest to move forward to the next step? That process would probably be in the neighborhood of $5,000 plus expenses, something like that.
Questions? I don't have a question, but I have a comment. I think that this process, the way it's played out in this staff report that's been brought forward by the Consolidated Police, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, is a very valid way to start this, if there's any interest at all. And I think that there is some hard feelings from Aurora Grandy, because we kind of went down this road before, and we really didn't follow this type of process. I think we had a lot of staff input, and we had a lot of we didn't really get the stakeholders together before we did all of the before we gathered information and decided how we were going to put this thing together. And so when it came to some kind of a retreat.
If I can jump in here, I just wanted to make sure that we were straight on the record. I think, as Steve had said before, it wasn't just his bailiwick. It's certainly something so that we don't think he was out there on a limb. I was in agreement, and I think it's certainly something worth us pursuing and exploring. So I think to take that first step would be very beneficial, especially in these tough economic times where we're talking about consolidating services. And if we're talking about either a cost savings or enhancing level of service, I think it's something that we should definitely look into.
I was only being facetious when I said this is your bailiwick.
I knew you were.
I don't believe you.
Cranky.
But the folks in the audience don't know you as well as we do.
Yes.
Who would
Cranky the clown is what Steve was for Halloween, so that gives you any indication of his personality. Dave, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm a little concerned about this special meeting that we're having tonight. Was this posted the same as everything else? It looks strange to have a kind of a big issue on a separate agendized item at 10 o'clock at night after a regular city council meeting. I'm in favor of going forward with this, so I'm not speaking against it. I'm concerned about the first impression of this. But with that said, I agree with Steve and John that we should go for it. And if it's a $5,000 one-day event, I would like to see us make that gesture and invite Aurora Grandy and Pismo, and it would be our funding of this proposal because of our past. Maybe that will help smooth the waters a little bit. Let's invite them over free of charge to come over and listen to what could happen. This has all of the questions. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have the answers, but it has the questions that need to be asked and answered. And it might... I was looking through here because I thought in the original one we saw a few weeks ago that it said that no consolidations have occurred in the last 10 years or something. I mean... Mm-hmm. People have talked about it, but they don't finish the project for some reason or other. But
or they table it and it comes back.
Well, yeah, like we do. We keep talking about it because we think that there's benefits out there, but we aren't quite sure, and we need to know how to prove it, because it has to be of many benefits. Maybe not all financial, but it has to either provide better service or better coverage or better opportunity, something. Something has to be better, otherwise why do it?
Exactly.
And so I'm in favor of going forward. I'm in favor of offering to fund it if Arroyo Grande and any interested parties out there would like to participate realistically and come with the intent of really thinking about it. And if there is no interest, then, like you said, let's just let it die. And I don't want them to send one representative. If we're gonna do this, it has to be full participation by the full city council and the police chief, and or if it's police coordination, or if it's any other fire. I don't care what we're talking about. It has to be all of the people involved. One day model. I'm sure there's a fee for this
company.
This outline.
Yeah.
And if it's a consultant. Besides that, is that all in this? Or, I don't know.
We don't have a specific price from a specific person. My guess is that we're talking, in the neighborhood of $5,000 to $7,000 when you consider expenses that the person might have, depending on where they're coming from, transportation, whatever, and just having the lunch or something like that as part of the exercise. We do have a vacant police lieutenant position that's been vacant in the police department budget for the whole year. I suspect we could find the resources in the police department budget and move it around administratively.
Well, I imagine overtime has eaten that up if you look deep in there. But anyway, the point is, if we're going to spend that money, I think that's saying we're serious.
Sure.
Yeah. I agree.
Come if you're serious. If you're not, tell us up front. You're not, and we'll save our money because $7,000 is a lot to us.
I agree with you. I think that we should even, if that's something that we go with, I think we should even try and get an RFP from a couple, or maybe one person or a couple people, get a request for proposals on what they can put together a retreat for, and lock down the dollar figure. And if we decide if it's something we can do, then move forward. But
and it can be phased. So that if the result of the meeting is a thumbs up to move forward, then that can be, and so the
right.
it may be kind of a lost leader thing.
Yeah, they start being
a
participants.
Program, isn't this an outline? I mean, it's a full program
research
that you
paper.
Buy from these people.
That's a research paper.
Well, whoever did this. Okay. No, I thought that I read it.
Hire someone from that organization.
Okay. I thought there was a charge for that. Anyway.
John, you want to explain the research you guys did today and some of the different contacts you made?
John Bradbury, Chief of Police. What we found out are a lot of these people use these answering services, and they were very hard to contact. We did get hold of a lady that sat on the project committee that put together the paper. We're still waiting for a phone call back from her. But we did find two groups. I'll mention names. The Mercer Group and Richard Hughes and Associates that have done these kinds of things in the past, mainly in the East and in the Midwest. One of the groups had just put together three agencies in Iowa, and these two groups said they'd be very interested in bidding and if we had a RFP. So they are out there, and with a little more time, we possibly have other groups. But there are groups that are more than willing to do this and sit down and carry us through from, an assessment, a facilitator, a study, recommendations, alternatives, handle legal issues, and put together a JPA. But there are a number of people out there that can do this for us, and they're not that far away.
Actually, I thought that 93-94 study was mostly in-house. I thought that Brian Johnson and Penelope Culbreth had done a major amount of that work. That was my recollection on that, and because I don't remember even seeing any consultant speak at any of our meetings.
Right. Somehow Mr. Hughes had a part in some of that, whether in the background. At that time, I don't think he was paid for that service.
Okay. Dave?
A question, and it's pretty basic. This is an agendized item to consolidation of police services, but would this same meeting be open to discussing consolidating fire or entire cities, or where are we going with this? Is this a one, when you have a consultant talking about consolidating, is it focused on, the issue is consolidating police services?
Yeah,
is that the only thing that was discussed at this meeting?
When I talked to the people, we were talking about dispatch. That seems to be the easiest nut to crack. There are a lot of other issues if you're actually joining police services. And I think the easiest way to look at this, if we were to look at a dispatch center, Pismo Beach or ourselves with a new CAT RMS system, we could handle that out of these current facilities. If you start combining police services, the way you save the money is to reduce from three facilities to one. Well, none of our facilities would handle all of the police. Now you're talking about building a new structure. And I'm sure there's ways of modifying it, but that's what sticks out in my mind as consolidating dispatch services. We could do it. This center or Pismo Beach. Arroyo Grande Center is older than ours. They're looking at putting in a new center now.
Was your question, Dave, that whether the facilitated process would involve just the subject of consolidating police departments, or might it also look at fire or...
Yeah, my point is, if you're going to get these other cities together, are we going to talk about consolidating dispatch centers, or are we going to talk about consolidating police departments?
Police departments, police
services,
or a
fire district?
Right.
Or, I mean, are we talking about consolidating?
Well,
as a big number, a big word, or...
It would seem that would be...
Dispatch services only.
That would be what this whole meeting would be about. Yep. I think your invitation would go out and say, are you interested in consolidating dispatch, dispatch and fire, dispatch and police? Are you, you know, I mean, those are, I think we start with, I think John's right. I think you start with dispatch because the other ones have a lot of, a great, bigger, there are bigger hurdles to go over. But if we take a baby step at a time, dispatch is kind of a natural place
to start. I'm surprised we need
an
outside source and a big deal to talk about combining dispatch.
Can I jump in real quick?
Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
It sounds like the conversations at the staff level have been moving forward and consolidating dispatch. It seems like a really positive operational move. This is coming from the goals that we adopted.
Organizing this entire consultant and the meeting to talk about combining dispatch. Because I think that it's kind of, like I said, a fairly simple thing to do, and takes an agreement, but it doesn't.
I think we're talking about dispatch. We're talking about the rest.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I'm asking is if you request to do an RFP for someone to come here for a one-day meeting, and we're going to pay $7,000, and we're going to invite the other cities, is it to talk about consolidating dispatch, or is it talk about the benefits of consolidation?
I think that's, isn't that the intent, the benefits of consolidation?
And look at, well, maybe entire police departments could consolidate fire departments. Or, I mean.
Because I think in this publication on pages 1 and 2, it talks about types of consolidation, and it says consolidation is a matter of degree, and it goes on to describe the different types, and I think that certainly some of the dialogue that would probably occur.
I think everybody should know what to expect at this meeting. Is it talking about dispatch, or is it talking about...
You bet.
Perhaps larger things, dispatch or more.
I think we're staying within the realm of people with badges and guns, I think, for this first meeting. It's law enforcement.
So what if you have a city that doesn't want to come?
Right.
Then it just goes down to two?
Well, they don't come. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
That's a
possibility. And if... Two don't come,
then we're done.
They could save us money. We could. Yeah.
Yeah. If two don't come, we're done.
Keith David, does the light go on?
Well, maybe, you know, there's a county out there too. I mean,
that's right. That's right.
So anyway.
Okay.
I kind of wanted to mention something before it gets too far down the road here, too, as far as the special meeting. And I don't think that – I think Dave brings a good point up, the fact that this is a special item, special meeting thing. And it really was just an item that was missed on the agenda. And the only way to put it on the agenda in such a timely fashion was matter was to bring it forward as a special meeting. So there's no hanky-panky or anything real special about this item over any of the others. So I just wanted to – I think that's what I wanted to mention so that anybody listening or anybody in the audience would not get the idea that this is something we're trying to push forward at some hot item or anything like that. It's just some interest, and it didn't get on the agenda. So in order to work with it this week, it was agendized as a special meeting. So I just wanted to kind of clear that up. And the other thing I'd like to – oh, I'm sorry. The other thing I was going to say is that in one of the departments that's mentioned in here is a successful merger is the Las Vegas Police Department and the Las Vegas Sheriff's Department. That happened in 1973, and I started working for the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department in 1973, and it was a pretty successful transition. Within probably 8 or 9 months, there were no territorial boundaries between sheriffs and police. Everything merged really well, and so it can be done, and there could be another source that we could go to if we wanted to, look into a successful merger, which is fairly... Oceano Fire Department, I mean, isn't that part of dispatch?
I don't see a problem, unless you see a problem, with inviting OCSD to participate. Mm-hmm. I did send them a copy of the agenda package just so that they would be aware of what's going on.
I wasn't thinking of OCSD. They don't
You're talking about the county.
They don't provide police services. It's the sheriff's department.
Okay.
But they're the only ones we dispatch for. OCSD, we don't dispatch for the county.
But
and we do have a contract
talk about consolidating with us for dispatch, the same as Arroyo might talk about consolidating with us for dispatch. I mean, they're as much a player as the other two cities, aren't they?
I don't really see it that way myself. But.
I mean, my take on it is we had a very preliminary discussion about the sheriff as a service provider, and it didn't seem like there was any interest on this council to follow that in any detail at this time. So I think another alternative is to talk to our neighboring jurisdictions that have municipal departments and see. I don't know.
The sheriff could dispatch for us. If we just wanted to save money, they could take over dispatch for us, the same as Rio Grande could take over dispatch for us, or we for them. So I think they're a player.
Okay.
I guess the question to be is, do you see them as a player in the limited sense of dispatch communications or something
consolidation
bigger than that?
No, we're not talking about consolidation now. You're back to baby steps. We're talking about dispatch only. That's what I was just hearing here.
No, I think
this is addressing law enforcement consolidation.
Right. Police
services between the three cities, Aurora Grande, Grover Beach, and Pismo Beach.
They're still a player then.
Potentially,
as much an option as.
I guess my question to that is, if you read the study, they're talking about the shareholders, and it would be pretty easy for this facilitator to say Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Grover. Here's the number of people that you need to have, and who they need to represent, whether the patrol officers or your police management or staff or elected officials and community members at large. How do you do that with the county?
I think the real drawback for me when we started talking about the county. With the Sheriff's Department is the Sheriff's Department has little or no involvement in traffic. And everybody in this community, we have a TANG group, a traffic and noise group. And people are so concerned. We just had a gentleman stand up and talk about a homicide, or not a homicide, but a fatality that happened on our main street. That's traffic related. And I don't see the Sheriff's Department being very excited about traffic enforcement. That's the only drawback with me dealing with the – well, that's one of the drawbacks with the Sheriff's Department. The other drawback with the Sheriff's Department is you can't really find anybody in a Sheriff's Department substation at 12 o'clock at night unless you want to go to St. Louis. And those aren't things that this community has really looked – has really been interested in as far as what I've seen. We want police think we're talking apples and apples when we talk about Arroyo Grande, Oceano. I mean, Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Pismo. When you bring the county and the sheriff's department in, it's like a wild card. So that's my personal take on that.
Can we ask the police chief? What do you have any input on? Is the sheriff's department a player in any kind of consolidation of police services? By player, I just mean, is there a potential partnership with them?
That's an option that's out there. The three cities within the South County have a lot more in common. We're a lot more alike. We wear the same uniforms. We enforce the laws in the same manner. That would seem to be the two other cities would be the ones that I would talk to unless you're looking for the sheriff's department to take over all of the police actions within the city. And that the conversations I hear from people out there, they're looking more is if we stay local. Within certain groups that come here and communicate with you, there may be one or two people that like the sheriff's, and other people within that same group would be much more interested in consolidating with the other cities. I think if you go out with the people being one of those stakeholders, they're looking more local. And we're talking about departments that are much more similar in what we do, similar in pay, similar in benefits.
Well, now we're talking about consolidating police departments again, and that's what you said wasn't...
No,
that's what he said. That is what's on the agenda. That's what's on the agenda right now.
Okay.
If you were asking me, I think the nut to crack is to look at the communications dispatching and see if we can move forward with that. There are a lot more issues in combining police departments, a lot more heat out there and rhetoric that people are going to bring forward when you start talking about actual police departments.
Okay.
Cadence is easier.
If you're just going to combine dispatch, because that's the easiest, and you can call in over the phone and the location doesn't make any difference where the dispatch is, then the sheriff's department is certainly an option. They can dispatch for the whole South County, all three cities. Why not?
That's beyond my technical expertise. I don't expertise.
Here's the thought process that we went through. We started out a couple of years ago. Council asked the question as we were facing the state budget crisis of 2 years ago. Is there any opportunity for long-term savings by contracting for policing services with the sheriff's office? We got several really initial kinds of proposals from the sheriff. They weren't really proposals. They were just kind of like, if the opportunities, the thought was, well, if the sheriff can save money in his proposal by consolidating, in effect, dispatch, what if we were to consolidate dispatch records, communications kinds of things, locally among the three cities? Could we not effectuate the same kind of savings? And since we all pay less than the sheriff does, then perhaps, or at least one of the agencies pays less than the sheriff does, perhaps we could save some money. That's how we got started on the staff level. But council was saying, what about looking at broader than just the question of that, what about is there an interest among the three cities to look at consolidating policing services among the three departments and to look at if you only have one chief instead of three chiefs, you only have, you know, one dispatch instead of three dispatch, you only have one records instead of three, whatever those various consolidation opportunities are. So the conversation tonight is, do we get those three agencies together, throw out on the table all of the pluses and minuses, and get some kind of consensus about are two agencies or three agencies or no agencies willing to go a step further than that and see if we can work out something that has an opportunity for long-term savings among or between different agencies. The concept of the sheriff's office, if we were just limiting it to dispatch, might make some sense. When we look at the issue of consolidation of police departments, I think what the chief was saying is that there is a fundamental difference in the way policing is approached between cities and counties, and that initially, if we're going to talk about this kind of consolidation effort and the facilitated discussion, initially it probably makes sense to start with the three agencies, three cities, and to talk about consolidation of policing services. You might have spin-offs from that to look at other opportunities for consolidation and joint savings in the South County area, and some of those might involve the county. But I think the focus initially is to say, let's talk to the three cities, let's talk about police services, and look at what the opportunities are. And my understanding of the process is you kind of break it down, you break into different groups, and you can tear it apart and look at the individual activities that we have. And the process may end up saying, yeah, exactly what we're doing now is as much as anybody really wants to do, or it could go to the extreme of, yeah, everybody wants to look at over the next 2 or 3 years coming up with, you know, the South County Police Agency. District.
City of County, dispatch. And right now, I don't think they could take all three cities. I'm not sure, but they're looking at building a new dispatch center, and that'll be a couple years off. So it'd be a real tight squeeze for them to get us in there in the next couple of years.
Thanks, Chief.
John Bradbury, just for the record, CDF does dispatch fire for Pismo Beach now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I'm sorry. Go.
In the interest of time, I think we may be getting ahead of ourselves into some of the nuts and bolts issues that maybe it's a little premature to do. I would just love to see if we have support to, I don't know if the invitation should come from our mayor to the mayors of the neighboring jurisdictions, and we work on the wording of that, and we come up with some date that staff says can work for everyone, and we just see, are they interested in doing it or not?
I'd be happy to do that.
We're just looking for direction at this point, right?
We could send out an invitation, and like I said, I think this should go with it. Though this is.
I agree.
This. And I also had the feeling that there has already been some interest expressed from Pismo Beach, and I don't know if that's something that I'm feeling or hearing, or if it's true or not. I don't know if anybody else has any input on that, but I've heard through the grapevine that Pismo Beach is kind of interested in sitting down and talking about some type of a police consolidation. So I don't know if I'm stepping on anybody's toes, and if anybody knows, they could bring it forward at this point, but I thought that was kind of part of what was happening here.
I mean, Bob Beam wrote an article on it, and the police chief in Pismo said he was open to a discussion. And I think that's what we're looking for.
Well, I thought the mayor and maybe other council people might be also interested from what I'd heard. So.
Yeah, I believe Mayor Crescioni in the article had stated.
Oh, support.
I think our police chief had said he was for consolidation if done the right way.
Or discussion.
Or discussion.
So is that, do we have direction?
Like thesaurus.
Do we want to put a letter out to the other communities? And
so the direction we're looking for is that we want to have a workshop, joint workshop with the cities of Pismo Beach and Arroyo Grande. We want to invite them with a letter signed by the mayor sending this the information that we've got before us this evening, asking them to participate.
And do we want to
work out the details of...
Do we want to go as forward as saying that we would actually finance the first part of this, and if it goes beyond that point, then all three agencies would continue to finance a consolidation?
That kind of leads to the question of, I had heard some discussion earlier about doing some kind of a process in order to select whoever the facilitator is. If we want to go through that kind of exercise and have us do an RFQ or kind of and then bring, so I'm, you know, we can get pretty detailed, or we can cut to the chase and staff can identify somebody, get them on board as a facilitator, invite the other cities, get something set up, and
I would say staff go out for the RFQs. You determine who's qualified, and then have them give us RFP and tell us what it would cost. That would be my take on it.
I think that goes against that's the time argument. I mean, I would be okay using someone that's recommended by this association. The gentleman you spoke of, the consultant that was involved in the previous discussions, I would steer away from anyone that's got background with any of these three jurisdictions if that's mm-hmm. possible. Just to make sure we have that level of objectivity.
But how long would it take them to fax RFQs? I mean, their qualifications to us, and have staff look through those and go, this looks like, I can't see that being that much of a bog down.
Yeah, I think that's what I would, perhaps I wasn't communicating effectively. The concept I was saying is that we can either do it kind of administratively. And, we would go through a process where we would try to identify everybody who's qualified and who's interested and get a range of how much something like that would cost and make a selection. Or we have the authority to do that kind of thing within our purchasing policies. The other approach would be, we can go invite all that information, provide it to the council. These folks could fly in here from wherever they're coming from, and the council could go through a process of selecting somebody. I guess part of the concern I have about that is, if you're going to go through that in a public process and that big a deal, then the other agencies might feel like they ought to have some input in who we're selecting, as opposed to this is just there's 5 or 10 or 15 folks out there that could do this. So we identify 4 or 5 of them and pick one of them. And you didn't have any more influence over that than the other councils did.
I think their proposal should be broken down from, the first initial retreat and then maybe the rest of the proposal after that, so that when we go to the retreat, we can say, okay, we're going to sponsor the retreat. This is what it cost us. Mm-hmm. And here's what the rest of this process will cost if you're interested in participating.
Sure.
Is everybody awake?
So do we want staff? Do we want to do this administratively? I think the question, Steve, you talked about the timing issue.
I'm comfortable having staff do it administratively. Again, my big concern and my hope is that we bring in someone who doesn't have history with any of these agencies.
Okay. So I think that's good direction.
Yeah.
Is that consensus, Dave? Are you happy or are you awake?
No, I'm fine. I was thinking about, I don't want the gentleman we've had before. I don't think he's an expertise in police services, that's fine.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And it is just consolidating.
Consultation experience and not have experience with any of the three agencies, and in any fashion?
I would ask that they have law enforcement experience.
Okay.
Chief had talked about Mercer. Maybe they haven't dealt with anyone in this affected area.
They're mostly East Coast, so yeah.
Okay, does that sound like it works?
Yeah.
D?
For me.
John?
Yeah.
Staff direction? Okay. We're going to finish this item. Right? Happy? Okay. We're going to adjourn this city council meeting, and we're going to move into closed session dealing with five different items. Item number one is conference with legal counsel pending litigation, Scruggs versus Freitas, Overholser and the City of Grover Beach. Number two, conference with legal counsel pending litigation in the matter of Todd Miller. Item number three, conference with legal counsel pending litigation, Jensen versus the City of Grover Beach. Item number four, conference with legal counsel anticipated litigation. And item number five, public employee evaluation, employee city manager.
Might be a good idea.
Okay, adjourned. Okay. We can do that later, can't we?